Blog Talk Radio.
I only see the intro.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. And just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Take. Without the fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV. We in the bunker, we'll be VIP.
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, wrist and neck, drip drop, clip pop, hold that, grown man, hand up, stand up, know that, wasn't always rosé, click yeah, viva, Miami for the weekend, eatin', she ma, pull up, valet park car, be ma, remember being flat broke till I had Enoch, had to get my change up, change up, like a flat tire side of the road, the right time with the right grind, climbing the roads, rock diamonds that glow, ice blind them and show, heard lights to slide in the hole, it's my way or the highway. Iron the toe, yes, I'm a pro. Press iron the foe. Talking what I walk, talk, never the foe. Yeah,
you never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Chick like who him, in the low bubble, trouble with the low brim, running no huddle, double the score, Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor, won't settle with all, middle finger to loss, parquet, bread and butter, but I hunger for more, look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore, mimosas, what I said, starting my mall, while these other niggas playing, Q playing the show, beachfront, she can front if she want, trust. Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arranged in court for no game. It's public. I'm no lame. Know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire's fire, saliva, propane. Q, turn it up. Flick, the bitch is always the same. Yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Do it big, Chris Wallace. Any night, take flight, St. Thomas. First class recliner, wine and empanadas. Stay sky high, call the frequent flyer mileage. Touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba. Chick shirt cooler, something like Zamunda. Blue water, white sand, Ronas in the cooler. Q, Mr. Dos Equis, come correctly. Chillin' crushed linen, mocha loaf is Giuseppe's, huh? They told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion. Thought you was fancy, huh? Yes, you drew like Nancy Dunn. Shed a tip for every lap he run. Real rap, cause on track, he L Cappy son. Hand out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens, light, camera, action, one. Deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out and thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show. We had Janine LeBron with the GQ General Question. We had up-and-coming artist K Navi, and we played his smashing single, Blood Phone. After K Navi, we had our special guest appearance, Ike C, which he gave out tickets to that big event that's coming up October 6th at the Black National Theater on 125th and 5th, celebrating his birthday my birthday, and a couple of other birthday celebrations. Tickets is going fast, so make sure you get those tickets, because after the first, they will be going up to $50. Now, I want to inform y'all. You know, I just want to talk a little about something, because I want to inform y'all. I would like for all y'all to vote. You know, get out there and vote. You know, let's vote for Obama. Get everything back the way it's supposed to be. Excuse me. Because we're not going to make it with Romney on the scene. I'm going to let y'all know that right now. But what we're going to do right now, I'm your host, Rich Money. And when we come back, we will be with... Excuse me. Got a little horse in my throat. Excuse me, I'm sorry. To hear last week's show with Ike C, K Navi, and Jimmy LeBron, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace. Excuse me. And check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have another amazing show for y'all. We have Michelle Jackson with the GQ General Question. We have up-and-coming artist slash actor DL, and we're going to be talking to him and finding out what's his next step in the music industry and the motion picture film. So we're going to be playing his smashing single off the book and finding out about his motion picture, Paper Chasing. Next, we're going to have, after DL, author Matilda, I just got to get it together, y'all. I do apologize. Author Matilda Wells. And we're going to be talking about her novel, Malik. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Y'all,
like Dawn's and Divas, welcome back. I got myself together right now. Welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have Michelle Jackson. Michelle, welcome to the show. Hello, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm okay. And yourself?
I'm good.
I want to thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Uh-huh. You sound like you're ready to just go.
Nah.
I'm ready.
I'm a little nervous.
Ain't nothing to be nervous about. It's just like you're sitting home, sitting on your couch, on the phone. You know, it's just that, you know, it's worldwide and everybody, you know, it's just
okay.
Well, let me ask you, would you like to tell the audience a little something about yourself?
I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. I like to have fun, kind of laid back. I have two children, and I just like to have fun. Basically, that's it.
Okay. And what's your topic for this evening?
Okay. My topic for this evening is, do you prefer the lights on or off during sex, and why?
Wow.
Don't even ask.
Okay. What made you choose that specific topic since you said don't ask?
I was afraid of that. Let's just go with it.
Oh, you want to just go with it?
Let's just go with it.
All right, Dons and Divas. Phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air and give your point of view on Michelle's topic, or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, Michelle.
Yes.
Me personally, I don't think it makes a difference.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, a lot of people say, you know, if you're dealing with a person that look kind of on a, you know, scary side, you know, they cut the lights out. They don't got to see the face or whatever the case is. And then you might have some people that make some ugly faces where you just want to cut the lights out, you know, and don't want to see their face, probably turn them off. Then you got some that's attractive and the faces they make and make you want to leave the light on just to see what kind of faces they're going to make. You know, so I think it's like a couple of ways to get to that, you know?
Okay.
I think it's just, you know, I think that's like a, I think that's like a tricky question you asked me. So that's what I think. I think it's kind of tricky in a way.
Okay.
But which way would you prefer?
Let's see. In the future, I prefer the lights on because I want him to see my face when I have an orgasm so he'll know he has done his job.
Okay. So that's why you prefer the lights on?
In the future, yes.
But I'm saying with the lights off, he still can hear you. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, like, okay, with the lights off, he can hear you. With the lights on, he could see you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So with the lights on, he could see you in here.
Okay.
So, you know, just to ask the question, which way you think is more that'll get to a man? Him seeing the faces or hearing the noise?
I would rather see faces.
Okay. So we have a call on the line. We're going to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Did you hear the topic for this evening?
I did.
Yeah, you sound like you really ready to answer, too.
I sure am.
You sound like you
was
really, really ready to answer, like you just got it all set up right now. Okay, so what's your point of view on the topic?
My point of view... I like the lights dimmed, just dimmed. And that way we can't see, you know, it's not so bright in the room, but we can still see each other and what's going on and the faces and all that nice, sexy stuff.
So you prefer, what was that you prefer?
Dimmed, the lights just dimmed. Just dimmed.
So you want it to be in between.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying. So you wanted to be in between. So the lights is dim. So, okay. You know, mm-hmm. So you're trying to give them both actions.
Yes,
mainly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you giving him both actions, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say if he don't show no type of emotions, you know, spontaneous feeling, how would you feel about that? Would you still pursue the one, even though you're giving them both satisfaction?
I can't speak for someone who I don't know but for the man that I do have sex with. If he's not showing any emotions, then there's a problem.
Oh, I gotta be. He could probably just be that stern type of man. I don't like, you know. He probably just like the, you know. Why does that to be a problem?
Okay, so then he is showing some type of emotion, even if it's just grunting or just, you know, squeezing my hand or pulling my hair. At least he's showing some type of emotion.
Oh, pulling your hair, you like that? I'm obsessed. Pulling your hair.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I hear you.
Nothing like you.
You sound like you really need business. Michelle, why are you so quiet?
I'm just listening.
No, you're not supposed to be listening. This is your topic. You're supposed to be joining. You can't ask a topic and then not say nothing about the topic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because, you know, that's like you trying to hide something. What are you trying to hide?
I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to hide nothing.
Because, your question was, would you prefer sex with the lights on or lights off, right?
Right, yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning of the show. What made you choose that specific topic?
That was just a topic I came up with.
That was just something
I came up with. That's it.
So it wasn't the point of, you know, you experienced something like that, and you were dealing with a dude, and he made this ugly face, and you decide to want the lights off, or he slobbed and drooled on you by accident or something.
Nah, I just wanted to just ask that question. That was it.
You just wanted to ask that question, just get feedback on it.
Basically, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, that question is kind of like a tricky type of question, to be truthful with you.
Okay.
For the simple fact, like I was saying, you have, in certain ways people have sex. You know, some people, they just mainly like the lights off. For the simple fact is, they probably just want to, like what you said, grab your hair, slap you a couple of times, you know, and make sure they're not hurting you. You understand? Because look at the guy that was having sex with his female. He choked her and killed her. Y'all heard about that. Uh-huh. Y'all love to get choked. Choke me. But then when he choked you and he coming, you know, the strength of his hands is around your damn neck. And y'all don't seem to realize that he's choking you. Meanwhile, you got to choke me and you're dying at the same damn time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But then again, that communication, that's where that communication comes in. You know, you communicate with the person, you know, beforehand. I know I've spoken, you know, I've had conversations with people that like to be, quote, unquote, choked out. When I first heard the term choked out, I'm like, what the heck is that? Well, you get choked until you pass out.
Wow.
Okay, that's some wild, crazy if you can choke the F out.
And that's that rough sex you're talking about.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly what that is.
That's extra
rough. Putting
you
in a yoke and choking you backwards and everything. That's the type of, I don't know what's going on with females now, but that's the type of sex y'all like. You know, you like to get slapped in the face.
Hey,
and
nothing wrong with it.
No, you said ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Angry sex is a good part, but it's certain when you go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, it's all right, you know, slap, you know, you know. But then when you're slapping, trying to slap a person's taste out their mouth, and y'all saying hit me and everything, that's not good.
Yeah, that's a bit crazy. That's crazy. Something's wrong there. When it gets too wild and crazy, there's something wrong.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But you mainly like to pull another hair. Now, Michelle, let me ask you, what mainly do you like in a sex scene? since you brought up this topic, you know what, nigga, let's try to switch it up a little.
I'm sorry, say that again.
What's your main thing that you like when, you know, having sex with your man? You like the hair pulling? You like the slapping? Or you just like to make passionate love with the music playing?
I would say passionate love with the music playing.
Why?
I would say that.
Why?
I guess you can get into it more that way, I guess, you know?
So do you feel like if a person is having angry sex, they can't really, like, get involved like they want to?
I don't know anything about angry sex.
You know what? Now you're copping a plea, you know? Now you're copping a plea like that.
No, I'm serious.
You're copping a plea like that.
I am dead serious. I don't know anything about that, for real. I don't.
Okay, let me ask you something. Are you in a relationship?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever got your hair pulled?
Yes.
Have you ever got spanked?
Yes.
And you never said, spank me, daddy?
No.
No, I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you. You never said, oh, yeah, spank me, daddy, or nothing like that?
Nah.
So that's what I mean. So you just was like I said the first time, going, That's not emotional feelings. You know, you got to get yourself involved. So from there, that's letting your man say, okay, you know what, let's turn the lights out. There's no emotional feelings. You know, I mean, there's no emotional sounds. Let's just turn the lights out and let's just keep them out, and I'll just keep spanking you.
Boring.
Wow, very.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. Because the simple fact of it is, you're not giving no emotional feelings. So when something like that goes on, you have to, like, give your all put into it. You said you sat there and you don't make no type of noise, no type of affection or anything. Meanwhile, this man is giving his all trying to, like, get you aroused. You understand? So that's why it's boring. You understand?
Try to pull out the peanut butter or something, right?
There you go, Rachel. There you go.
Oh, don't bring up the peanut butter. You don't know nothing about the peanut butter. You don't want to bring up the peanut butter. We have a call on the line. Hello, caller, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you get a topic for this evening?
Yes.
And what's your point of view on it?
I don't think it matters. I think that it could be either way. It could be lights on or off. It doesn't really matter. But I think that with the lights on or dimmed, as the caller said, I think that makes it, a little bit more spontaneous, really, because you're able to see the person's facial reaction. I think that that's important.
So you might as well just leave the lights on. With the dim, I don't see what difference it's going to make. You're still going to see their face. It just, they might look a little darker.
Yeah, but with it bright, it's just... No.
Okay, you know, make me understand. Please, make me understand this here. Because I'm trying to figure this out. You got a dim light, you understand. What is the difference from the light being on between it being dim and you being in both situations? But you're still seeing the same thing as you did.
But
just you're seeing it a little darker.
It's more
romantic. Yeah, it's more
erotic with the lights dim. Or with the, or if you color the light bulb, color on a light bulb with a marker and make it a little darker.
Let's get a red bulb or something.
No. back in the day when I used to, you know, have the colored bulbs, I used to color them. Now I just Now I have the lamp with the dimmer, turn the lamp down, and just, you know, make it erotic in the room.
No, see, I ain't never in my life heard of that one like that.
Oh, yeah.
Color a light bulb.
Look, you...
Hey, if
how
you going to
color a light bulb
to make
it, you know...
What you expect, you know?
How are you going to color a light bulb and make it to, you know, like a romantic thing?
Uh-huh.
So I guess if you use a black marker, it'll be dark.
I used to do that, too. Uh-huh, yes.
I know you're joking.
I'm dead serious. Green,
okay,
blue.
And by you, go ahead.
Green, blue, all colors.
Why did you
buy
a light bulb?
Well, when I was younger, I didn't have the money to do that, so I just got creative with it.
How old was you?
Yeah. I was in my 20s. When I used to do it like that with all the colors, I was in my 20s. But now I'm able to buy, you know, the lamp with the dimmers and all the fun stuff for the room. I can buy all that stuff now. But back in the day, I had to color it with the markers.
Okay, let me ask y'all a question, okay? Because, you know, the people are listening, but they're not pressing one. So I want to ask y'all a question, okay?
Uh-huh.
If you with your spouse, right, and y'all engaged, and y'all both go out, and y'all wind up meeting up in the same spot, and your spouse don't have on a ring, what would you do?
And the spouse doesn't have what?
Have a ring on.
Oh, geez.
What would you do?
Wow. I'm about to answer that. Shelly, we're going to let you answer that first since you're the guest. I have an answer.
Well,
I have an answer for that.
Well, I am married, and I haven't had my wedding ring on in about 6 years, and there's reasons behind that. So that's all I got to say.
Why do you have that's a symbol of his love to you and everything. Why you don't wear your wedding ring? You're kind of quiet, Shelly.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
That's
I
a
couldn't
symbol
hear you.
Of love to you. Why you don't wear the ring?
It's a long story. Long story.
Okay, so let's say this. Y'all go out. You know he got his ring on. He always has his ring on. Y'all meet up in a spot, and all of a sudden you see him dancing with a girl and notice his ring light on his hand. How would you feel?
Well, at this point, that's just on him. That's on him.
You know what you're doing, Shelly? I realize what you're doing. You're trying to skip past every question. You're trying to jump over hurdles. But you know what? You're going to trip on this one because you're not getting through this one.
What did I get myself into? I don't want to do that. You say that's on him. No, that's on both of y'all because he's in the club bumping and grinding without the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a problem with that. Like, excuse me. Like, hello, where's your ring? Right then and there. I'm not waiting until we get home. I'm going to ask and I'll speak to you outside in private, and we're going to have this conversation.
Wait, why would you want to speak to my spouse? Why would you just wait till you get home? Why would you want to start a controversy in front of a crowd?
Oh, he started the controversy by not having the ring on.
And I said, ask him, you know, speak to him outside, so this way you're not causing any type of problems in front of a crowd.
Regardless of the fact, it's going to draw a controversy.
Then you know what? Then we will take our controversy behind home.
That's where you're going to start it at from the get-go.
Nobody will be enjoying the club, if you ask me. That night, there's no more bumping and grinding. We going home to have this conversation. And guess what? I can't even think of an excuse right now that somebody would possibly give to why they don't have on their ring.
Exactly, especially if they have it on all the time and all of a sudden you're in the club bumping and grinding. Excuse me, honey, let me dance with you. Hey, where's your ring, honey? Oh, okay, all right, okay. There will be no one walking into the house then when you come home, your stuff will be packed outside.
Whoa, so you would pack his stuff because he don't have his ring on?
If there's no explanation that is good enough, yes, zero tolerance.
Okay, the majority of times, you know, it's the man that has the ring off, all right? You understand? But it's not necessarily means that he's going out there to try to do something. Y'all females always trying to put everything on a man. You know that?
True.
But you see, you got to realize, see, the reason why y'all don't take y'all ring off, because the dude is going to talk to you whether you got it on or not. See, so that's why y'all trying to put everything up on the man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, if he doesn't have his ring on in the club, I will ease my butt up next to him, bump and grind with him, and whisper in his ear, hey, honey, where's your ring? You all right? Did you lose it? Did you drop it? Oh, okay. And then we'll take it from there.
Okay, so what if he's doing, Martin, and just be like, I was just trying to see if I still got it. No, I ain't messing with nobody. I'm just trying to see if I still got it.
Okay, well, you should let me know ahead of time. Honey, I'm leaving my ring home, and I just want to go, I'm going to the club just to see if I still got it. And
mm-hmm.
I want to know why Shelly is still trying
to jump around these questions.
Look, well, I'm answering your question, and I'm telling you that if I went someplace and my fiancé was there and he did not have on his ring, or my husband was there and he did not have on his ring, oh, there is a problem. And we're going to address it the correct way. It's going to be right then and there. And I will ask for him to come outside. Just like that. We're going to discuss it, definitely. We're definitely going to discuss it, but right then and there. We're not going to wait till we get home. I'm going to be too upset to wait till we get home. And
right.
I'm not going to leave him at the club bumping and grinding with the next chick thinking it's okay. Absolutely not. We're going to handle this.
So if he was to tell you he's with the boys tonight, you know, he's going to stay
what?
At the club, he would get upset.
And that means what? You could be at the club all you want to with your boys, but that ring should be on that finger. That's the problem. I don't have a problem going out to the club with your friends or whatever the case may be. But if you don't have that ring on, oh, yeah, there's a problem. And we're going to address that problem.
Okay, so would it be a problem if a female finger get too big, or just like a guy's finger get too big, and she take a ring off?
Okay.
Now she needs another ring, so she's like, okay, well, let me just keep this ring. I'm going to keep this ring off for you beside me expand this one.
Oh, but that don't even make sense. There's jewelry stores all over this world. Why can't you go to the jewelry store?
Listen, stop being so comical, all right?
I'm not being comical. I'm just saying.
You know what?
You're being comical right now, lady. You say nobody was answering your question. I'm answering your question.
Okay, but you know what?
No.
I want the guest of GQ General Question to answer the question. Because it's going on a half an hour, and she's giving me one-word sentences because she's trying to dip and dodge around the question. I want you to answer the question. I want you to stay on the line and answer your questions also. But I at least want Michelle to answer at least one question because she's trying to dip and dodge around these questions. You understand? And I want to know why you're trying to dip and dodge. Is it something you're hiding? Is it something we don't know? Let us know what's going on, Michelle.
No, I'm good.
You see, you're dipping and dodging around a question. See, now, why you don't wear your ring?
Well,
hello?
I'm
glad.
Why I don't wear my ring?
Yeah. I'm giving you an easy question now. Let the audience know why you don't wear your ring.
I don't wear my ring anymore because I'm not in love anymore. I fell out of love, and I took my ring off about 6 years ago, and I just never put it back on.
Okay. Perfect topic. Are you still with him?
I am.
Okay, so it must be something that's keeping y'all together.
No, I'm actually in the process of separating.
Well, you know, not all separation is good when you have a family involved.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Sometimes it's good to try to work it out.
You're absolutely right about that. But we've been together for 20 years. I've been with him for 20 years. We've been married for 15. And I just don't love him anymore. It's a lot of stuff that's been done or whatever. And I just, you know, I'm just done. I'm basically fed up, basically.
Okay, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, you know, with your life. I can't tell you what to do. But 20 years is a very long time.
It's a very long time.
Like,
you're right. You're right. It's a very long time.
Give up everything. That's half your life.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
That's half your life right there.
You're right.
You're willing to throw that all away to start all over again?
Yes, I am.
I think you should actually, you know, like, take a moment and, you know, think about it. Well, us guys, we're not perfect.
I've taken many of moments. I've taken, you know, okay, let's just chill out. You know, let's think about this. Let's talk about this. Let's work it out. I'm basically done. I'm fed
up. You've been together 20 years. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be a philosopher. I'm not trying to be a psychologist or anything like that. Me, because I also been in long-term relationships and I broke up with them. You understand? But it's the fact of, you know, how situations break up and what it go about. But situations can be fixed. You understand? Especially
yeah.
when you got kids involved. Now, if he did something dramatic or whatever it is, which is none of our business, none of the audience business, anything like that, you know, then yeah, I can understand it. But if it wasn't that serious, you know, to where you just tired and you just want to, you know, go out and, you know, mainly just you're just tired. And you're just like, I'm tired of being with you right now. It's boring. The finances ain't good. We're not going out. That's really not nothing to break up on a long-term relationship. You know what I mean?
Okay, but when there's no love there, I think it's time to go.
Sometimes you just grow apart.
Yeah, basically.
Or we go in two different directions.
I'm not growing. I mean, we have a daughter and everything, and that was basically, you know, the reason why I stayed, because I was thinking, you know what, you know, let's work this out. We have a daughter, you know, let's work it out or whatever. And then, you know, when I got her telling me, what are you doing, you know, stuff like that, you know, wow, you know what, you need to be happy. Then, you know, some other, you know, issues came up or whatever, and then, you know, I was just like, you know what, I'm done.
Okay, I understand that part. You know, if your child is telling you, you know, you need to move on and, you know, go ahead and start your life all over. I mean, but it comes a time where you just really got to think for yourself. Because don't let it be the fact of your child telling you that. You know what I mean? Not to make it sound so harsh, but, you know, you can't always listen to the kids when they tell you stuff like that.
Well,
you got to think about yourself. Are you thinking with your heart or are you thinking with your mind?
I'm thinking with my heart and mind, both. Both. I haven't been in love with him in a very long time. Long time.
Now, so if you've been in love, if you felt like that, why didn't you just end it 6 years ago?
I know. I ask myself that all the time. It's like, you know, I'm like, well, you know what, just hang in there. You know, sometimes women forget about themselves just to keep their family together. But you know what, at the end of the day, it didn't really work out too good for me. So, you know, you just try. That's all. You just try to make it work. You just try to make it work. Try. But, you know, I can't keep putting Band-Aids on it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I can't keep doing that.
Sometimes you keep putting Band-Aids over that wound. That wound is not going to get any air. That wound has to breathe still to heal. You got to take that Band-Aid off and let that wound heal. Yeah. You need your fresh air. You need your wings to fly sometimes. I've been there. I've done it. I've stayed for the kids. I've stayed for every reason. I made so many excuses to stay.
Exactly.
Finally, one day I said, you know what? I have to wake up in the morning. I have to go to sleep at night. I have to be. What about me? I've taken care of everyone else. It's time for me. I can put me first finally and still take care of everybody else. But I need to put me first, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing, putting everybody first. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Time for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask you a question? How do you feel when you look at them in the morning? Do you sit there and think, like, you know what, I love this man, you know, he's like, he's been through so much, I was going to get through with this 6 years ago, but you know what, I want to just work it out. It's been 6 years later now, you understand? So, do you feel...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We
live in separate areas of the house.
Oh my God.
I've been there too.
And actually, I'm enjoying it. To be honest, I'm enjoying it until I get my.
Now, actually, what? Excuse me. What is it that you actually say that you're enjoying? Because you're saying you're enjoying it. What is it that you're actually enjoying?
I'm enjoying just not being around him. Just, you know, just doing me. Just doing what I got to do. That's all.
Okay. If you feel like that.
Why
way,
is this the Michelle Jackson show?
You're the guest tonight, girl. You're the guest tonight.
Because, you know why? I want me to explain to you why. Because you ask the question, would you rather have the sex on or off? Would you want to have sex with the lights on or off? You skip past that. So then we ask the question about, okay, what if your man, your spouse was in a club and you roll in there and they don't have their ring on? You skip past that. So I want you to get involved with this situation. The lines is flooded. And no, some of the lines is flooded, and we still going to be giving away those tickets to Jim Jones and Vay Long Island at the Barrington Theater. I mean, at the Barrington Club, October 20th. But right now, Michelle, let me ask you. That's why this is about you right now. Okay? Because as long as you kept skimming past questions, you understand, not to make this sound personal, but you kept going over the questions. That's what made me try to get to you something that's on your mind. Because you just kept saying, I'm like, no, no, that's it. You understand? That's how you could tell what's on a person's mind. So it actually is your show. You're the guest for General Question. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, okay. I'm not trying to tell you how to lead your life. I'm just giving, like, you know, simple pointers. We just give, like, simple pointers and stuff like that, you know, to let you know. But regardless of the fact, you know, you do have to do what makes you happy.
Right. And I think that's it's time. It's way past time for me to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. And didn't you win some tickets to the Jim Jones Invade New York? Are you coming out here?
Yes, I would love to come. I would love to come, but I'm not sure because I'm supposed to be moving, so, you know, I'm not sure if I can make it or not, but I'm going to try real hard, Ray.
Oh, you already won tickets to Jim Jones.
Yeah, I know. I already won them. I know that, but I live in North Carolina, so I got to try to get there. But like I said, I'm around that time, I'm going to be in the process of moving, so I'm going to try to make it.
Okay. You need some excitement. You need a night.
Oh, see, that's the type of girlfriend I'll be talking about. You see right there? You see, another whole topic. You understand?
Bracey
now,
trying
why,
to get me out
now,
there for
why
a while.
Would you tell that lady she needs to get out for a while?
Well,
that's what
she
I
does.
Want
to she
know.
To,
now, where did
least,
that come
and I'm,
about
now,
that she
I'm
told
in a
she needs to get out for a while?
I'm in a loving relationship. But, you know, she needs to get out and be around people and just to get out and get that fresh air. That Band-Aid sometimes needs that fresh air. That wound under that Band-Aid needs that fresh air to help heal. So she might need that night out of just, you know, breathing and just having fun.
And
I'm not saying end up in a motel somewhere with the lights on or the lights off. You know
I completely agree. I do. I mean, I listened, and the fact that, you know, you can say point blank that, you know what, I haven't been in love in a long time. And you know what? Everybody deserves love somewhere, you know. And if you're not getting it and you've tried and tried and tried, guess what? Then you need to do what you got to do. I mean, that's a long time, you know, to say, okay, well, you know what? I stayed for the kids. And at the end of the day, you can't keep staying for the kids. People stay for the kids all the time. And that might not be what's best for you or the kids when you think about it.
Right.
You know, so you always have to think of yourself first.
No, don't get me wrong. It's not best for the kids. You know, you shouldn't let the kids see you like that. You understand? But the fact of just being in a separate part of the house, that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I really think that's worse.
I was in that predicament too, and I had gotten into I got a house where we were at totally different ends of the house. We didn't have to see each other except, you know, coming in the middle for the kids or, you know, something or another. And I was happy with it. I'm like, yes, I got my privacy. I don't got to see them, but, you know, but
yes,
we still got to pay the bills together. We
That's exactly what's going on with
together.
Me, exactly.
And, yeah. So then in the end, you're like, damn, I'm not happy. I thought I was, and I thought I liked it. But the point is, you know what? You gave it your best, and you did try. You got it to the point where, you know what, you did try to stay together and be in separate areas of the house. Like I said, I've been there, and I've done it. It feels like it's better for a moment. That Band-Aid is covering that wound. That Band-Aid has to be removed. So.
I mean, That's understandable. You understand? Like I said, yes, you're covering up the wound, but you're making a bigger patch. You get putting a bigger patch on the kids by putting them in that situation. All right, your bills got to be paid. That's understandable.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That's understandable. But it still boils down to the fact of, you know, what about the kids? Hold on, we have another call on the line. We're going to bring them on real fast, all right? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir. What's going on? What's going on, family?
All right.
What's going on? This is Dallas, y'all. This is Dallas.
Dallas, what's going on?
Hey, Dallas.
What's going on? Hey, ladies. Dallas. Who am I talking to?
Shelly.
And Rachel.
Hey, Shelly.
Oh, Dallas, we went to like 2-3 different topics already. First one is, we have another caller. Let's bring that caller on, too. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
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 Caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Hello?
Okay, hey, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, okay, you know what that is.
Hey.
All right, just stay on line. Now, we don't went to 2 or 3 topics already. The first topic was, would you prefer sex with the lights on or off?
It don't matter.
Oh, damn.
It don't matter.
I mean, really, it don't matter.
Why
don't matter?
Because, I mean, you know, hey, if you're going to be ashamed with the lights on, hey, if you're going to be ashamed with the lights on, you know, don't even do it. I mean, you don't be ashamed of what you're rocking with or what you got or who you are. You know, off, it just makes it a little bit more romantic to me. But, you know, if you want them on, hey, keep them on.
But what if you got them on?
And when it's time to get on, I have no preference because I'm not going to be in the bed, get ready to smash, and then I got to get out of the bed and turn the light on. If I want it on,
hey.
I got to get out of the bed and turn it off if I don't want it on. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time to get in the fuck out the, excuse me, I ain't got time to get out of the bed to try and smash. wait, get out, turn the light off. Come on.
You got an ugly female there. I mean, like, you got an ugly dreamboat body, shipwrecked face.
Well, that
was, you're going
to... First of all, I gotta be drunk. I gotta be drunk because I don't know what. You know what I'm saying? And I got to, I'm not gonna try and smash no ugly broad if it ain't pleasing to me.
So if I, right. So if she got a Beyonce body and she's just ugly.
But
yo,
you
just
see
I
all of that before you even get in the bed.
Yo, that's my yo. And listen, you at ten she's a 2, but at 2 she's a 10. You know what I'm saying? All of us, we're in the club.
Okay.
But, I mean, before you even get in the bed, you should see what he looking like. And, you know, and if you think
man,
it's
listen,
a problem, don't even get in the bed with
him. T, cut that out. Because y'all ladies don't need no, like, y'all always grab down there. Y'all do a little field check. Don't even try to, like,
okay.
That's what ladies do. Y'all be down there. Y'all go down there and feel to see what he's working with, not to get him aroused. Come on, cut that out.
Well, still, but you know, I'm gonna know what I'm getting from the door. So, man.
Okay, let me ask you. The second topic was, if you with your spouse and y'all go out y'all separate ways and wind up at the same spot, they don't have their ring on. What would you do?
I want to know why.
So you would want to know why right then and there.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you start something right in a club?
I mean, what's the purpose of you not having it on? You left home with it. So, you know, are you out here to, you know, how would I say this? Are you taking applications?
No, my thing, I'm gonna ask right there in the spot. Because I'm not going to give you time enough to figure
you
out your answer.
Because you're going to have a lot.
You ain't going to take 3 or 4 hours to get home and figure it out and get it together. No, I'm actually right here in the spot and check your body language. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to check your body language, and that's going to be it.
Okay, now we're on a topic now. You're in a long-term relationship, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're not feeling that person anymore.
Make kick rocks.
So you wouldn't try to work it out?
I would call, you know, but if we couldn't come to an agreement, what's the sense in even keep trying to stay there and it's not going to work?
You're not going to know until you try it, though.
Exactly. That's my point.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, you don't want me, I don't want you.
It ain't the point. What,
okay.
It ain't the point of
okay,
person.
Now,
when you have kids involved.
Huh?
You have kids involved in this situation.
Well, that's kind of hard for me to answer because,
not me. My kids would have to understand that their father could be a father from a distance.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay, that's good. Now, what happens if the man is the breadwinner for the household? You're a house mom.
Good point.
Now, what happens now? Do you just say, F it and get up and leave with nothing? You know what I'm saying? All that, you got to think about the long run. You know what I'm saying? This man taking care of everything, the household, and everything else. So what? Y'all, it ain't what it used to be. But y'all got to try and work that out because now what are you going to do? You have no income. You have nothing going on right now.
This is 2012. I know it's 2012.
There we go.
Most females are working and making just as much, if not more.
Well, we ain't talking about them. I gave you my question. We talk about them women that's out there
and
has no income.
I was about to answer it for you. In my opinion, I just think that if the man is the breadwinner and he's the person that's taking care of the household and holding down all the bills and stuff, mentally that female has to decide, okay, well, can I make it on my own? Me personally, I'm going to do what I have to do to take care of me and my family. If I'm not happy, it's not working, my kids see that, you know, there's a struggle, there's a constant fight, things just not working out, you know, daddy not coming home at night or whatever the case may be, I'm leaving. I'm sorry.
You can keep your house,
you can maintain your own bills. I'm leaving.
Lavina,
he'd been maintaining the house with all the bills. He was the breadwinner. He was been doing that. So you didn't do nothing differently for him. You're going to be the one that's going to come in my case.
He's not the breadwinner. I have a job as well, and
I couldn't hear what you were saying so far.
No, I was saying, I said you didn't do anything different for him. I was saying, okay, well, you take your own bills and all that stuff anyway. That's what he's been doing. So you didn't affect him or hurt him one bit. Now you're the one that's the only one that's going to be affected.
Of course, but my heart is affected as well. My mind and my soul is affected as well. And I think that me being happy is a little bit more important than somebody paying a bill for me.
That's true.
Yes, I agree.
And I mean, those kids are going to be affected eventually, too, if he's not coming home.
I'm out. You know, look, it's 2012. There's a lot of strong, independent black women out there.
There you go.
Oh, here she goes. All right, it is, but see, Somebody else. Somebody on a train station, son.
Oh, I'm in my shop.
So I say totally differently, because you got to realize this. It's like Steph said, if he's the breadwinner, you're not gonna. Where are you going?
Okay, can we reverse the question though? Like, what happens if the man is at home and the man's taking care of the kids, and the woman is out there doing him wrong, running around, sleeping with different people, but she's still maintaining the bills and she's still doing everything she got to do, but they're not really together, you know, like they're supposed to be together. So from a man's point of view, you guys would say?
See, that's what I understand. See, everybody keeps saying that same thing, not together. They're not really together. How could you not be? All right, you're in the same household.
All
right, you're going to get sexually. You're going to get aroused. All right, I don't care what nobody.
No.
When a good girl going bad. Yeah, all right. Okay.
When you have shut down completely, it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's done.
And where were you guys at answering that question? You know, the question that we just reversed for y'all, that we just kind of reversed it, and we said, would the man stay? Yes or no? Would y'all
stay? You damn well I'm staying.
Why am I
going to
leave?
Well, I'm
here. Now, you know what that says, right, ladies?
Right. Exactly.
All right, what does it say?
Well, then
right.
We can call
exactly.
Her the nanny.
What does it say?
Look, that is, listen. Nowadays.
We give just the same answer that y'all would have. I'm going to stay. What's the difference? I'm
going
to stay,
too. I'm out. I said, I'm leaving.
I'm going to ride my gravy train out until they run out of steam.
You know what? I don't blame
man home?
I would
even
not be going nowhere
home,
either. I'll be staying right there.
What happened?
I said, even if she brings a man home, you still staying?
She ain't bringing no man in the house.
She's
going
to
get
she's looking to get away next month.
But if you're not together, why not?
Listen, I was in this chick, right? And same thing. Her man was going through it. But he was working somewhere, and she was working somewhere, but she was the breadwinner. He really had nowhere to go or whatever. So he would stay in their son's room, you know what I'm saying? And she would have to own him. She was like, yo, you can come over. No, I cannot come over there. You retarded? I'm not going over there.
Wow.
You know, they were like, what? We're not together. I said, I don't care. I'm not, that's out of respect. I'm not doing it. I'm not, hell no. Even if you're not together and y'all not together and you bring somebody home, the feelings is going to arouse. They're going to come right back. They're going
to
come right back to the top.
Okay, so what, you just go to a room?
What? You damn well
go
to a hotel room.
And Michelle, and not for nothing, a lot of people are doing that right now where they're in, you know, a relationship, or they were in a relationship and things just fell apart, or people just grew apart, whatever the case may be, and they live in separate parts of the houses, and they're, you know, maintaining the bills together until one person is able to, you know, really be more dependent for themselves and be able to maintain.
Right.
A lot of people are doing it nowadays. It's not like it's never been heard of. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people
that's like
do it when you're with someone, when you're with someone
like
for so many years.
Feeling. Not feeling that person, but we in the same home. But I really got my feelings on somebody else. But I have to go somewhere else to
deal with this person. It's not about having your feelings on somebody else. The point that she was making earlier was, okay, I'm no longer in love. I haven't loved him in a long time. Right. We're living in the same place and we're trying to maintain for the best for our family and for the bills and stuff. So what I'm explaining to her, it doesn't happen. Like, people do live in the same household, but still, you know, they got to maintain.
But that's true, too. You're right.
It happens all the time, and you don't have to be looking at somebody else in order to say, oh, okay, I'm not in love. If you're not in love, you're not in love. That's plain
and
simple.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's a pretty far-fetched right there. I don't want to be in the situation, you know, but... Like you said, it does happen. It happens every day, you know. And you just got to be woman or man enough to deal with the situation of what's going on.
Well, you know, I stay at Aussie Prince.
On the individual, right?
Yes. Yes. You know,
situation.
I mean, like she said, if you're not happy, then... You know, it's something that you just have to do. But me seeing two people that live together in separate rooms and...
I couldn't do it.
I ain't gonna lie to me, because if I see my old lady smashing somebody, coming out from somebody else, the boys would be confronted to up about it now.
There's
no way I'm gonna watch.
I mean, you know, that's... Free topic, but you know, it's deep.
Yeah.
You know, and as you said,
okay,
Rick,
let me
you know, it's strictly up to the individual.
Let me ask them a question, then. Okay, I asked y'all a question before. Say you caught your spouse, your spouse cheating on y'all, Shelly, and who else on the line? Shelly,
yeah,
who else?
I'm still here.
Okay, Shelly, you caught your spouse cheating on you, right? Okay, y'all broke up. You forgave him, right? You forgave him. Now,
okay.
The person he cheated on you with died. You let her go to the funeral?
I'm sorry, for what?
The person, you caught that person cheating on you. You caught your husband cheating on you.
Okay.
Forgave them. Everything was good to go. Y'all back in. Everything was good to go. Now, a few weeks later, the girl, you caught him. She wished he passed away. He's been out crying, boo-hoo. Do you let him go to the funeral?
I'm going to say no.
Why?
If we're together, why are you going to the funeral? Why are you going to the funeral? That was why you were crazy.
Yeah,
but
ain't no competition
no more. Yeah, they did. They did,
man. Go ahead.
Why can't you just go and pay your respects?
I say go. Say your goodbyes. And while you're at the altar, make sure you explain to her, even though she's dead, you enjoyed the moment, but she's back with the person that she was with. I say go. And the reason I say go is, as us being adults, guess what? We can't stop somebody from going anyway. When you think
that's
about
true.
It, if they want to go, they're going to go anyway. If they're going to consult you about it, that's one thing. If I know that the chick thinks she's dead, she's no competition. That means she's not cheating with her. You might be somebody else.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Worry about the next one in line.
You ain't going nowhere. I bet not be a tear. I bet not be a tear.
To kill her? It's so hard.
You bet not.
You don't
want to
see a tear. Wow.
What have you come for? Oh,
but
that means you really was in love with her. Did you really love her?
Yeah.
But they dead. They gone now.
Right. Mm. You ain't got to worry about that one.
No, you might have planned us. You go there, and now all of a sudden, we gonna go to the funeral together, and then I'm gonna see you all hugging with the family like you was part of their family. Oh hell no!
Why would you want to go? You didn't have dealings with that man.
No, you ain't going. You don't get beat up, see? You ain't going, see?
I guess I am. We
wow.
just be fighting, you know, that's going to be a controversy with me and you. Then I'm going to feel some type of way because I should have paid my respects regardless.
No, you didn't have a cheat in the first place, and you ain't going.
That's right.
Number one, I'm
that's
not going
right.
to even tell you that I'm going, so then, therefore, I don't even have to worry about that.
I'm
going to
find out because I
find
out you cheated.
No, you're not. I ain't going to even tell you the nigga died. I'm not going to tell you he died.
Okay, now answer me this. How did you find out she passed away? That means you were still talking to them?
Because I might be close to the friend, the family.
That's like I said. That means you were part of the family. Hell no, you weren't there. Because you had to be tight with the family too for you to find out.
Well, what happened was...
It was more than just a little jump off. The little something wham bam thing. There had to be more than that. If you got family numbers and a mother number and all this other crap and the grandfather.
But see, what happened was
you stayed in the house.
That's starting off with a lie right there. What happened was.
Exactly. Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle, what's your final thought on the topic?
My final thought? Actually,
yeah,
I had a good therapy session right now, so I got a lot, you know, that was some good-ass therapy. I ain't going to lie, that was some good-ass therapy. I didn't want this to turn into the Michelle show, but that was some good therapy. I need it. Much needed. Thank y'all.
That's your final thought. I missed the first part. Sure.
Huh?
I'm mad I missed the first part.
Say that again?
I'm mad that I missed the first part.
I told you that was what it was going to be about.
I know, and I couldn't get on at the time, but I was free to get on now.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It was good therapy, though. I needed that.
Okay. Well, Michelle, I want you to know it was definitely an honor having you on.
Thank you.
Welcome back anytime. You know, I wish you the best. I wish everything could work out. You know.
Thank you.
Everything. If not, you know, DQ Palace is still here for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Michelle Jackson, Dons and Divas. All right, coming up next, up-and-coming artist/actor, DL.
We're going to be playing his smashing single off the books, off of that motion picture that he go on that's hitting a nation hard, King of Paper Chasing. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Hey, it's your boy Young Kino. Emil T on the track. Omar Cruz. Where's Khalifa? Hey,
let's get together and take the trip. I'm down for whatever I'm going to. Maybe together we'll look so fly. Looks like a song I'm falling to. Let's get together and take the trip. I'm down for whatever I'm going to. Maybe together we'll look so fly.
One look at my neck and wrist, the chicken should know that I'm ballin', ballin'. They see me on the road and they heard me on the song with Keno, they won't stop ballin'.
Yeah.
Lil' mama, stop stallin', hop in the truck, hit this, I'm rollin'.
You in a rock star, darling, ride through my city, something drop top, foreign.
One hand on the wheel, heard I'm working with a full deck, so what the deal? Say she love my Pittsburgh slang, so I let her wear my Pittsburgh chain. Now I'm talking about Khalifa, man.
Let's get together and take the trip. I'm down for whatever I'm rolling. Maybe together we'll look so fly. Looks like a song I'm falling. Let's get together and take the trip. I'm down for whatever I'm rolling. Maybe together we'll look so fly. Looks like a song I'm falling.
She wanna roll with a G, so I told her let's dip out. Swooping, chunky rims all poked out. Coopin', car choice when I roll out. Whippin', drop the top and let her blow out. Let's take a trip by the mall out. You rollin', well let's ball out. Girl, life with me is life of luxuries. I ball out, I don't just live comfortably. Selling dreams, talking about what they try and be. Me, I call shots and tell you how it's gon' be. It's a thousand of them and only one of me. I'm just getting started, still got life in front of me.
Can we roll?
Trip, I'm down for whatever I'm rolling. Maybe together we'll look so fly. Looks like the sun I'm falling. Let's get together and take the trip. I'm down for whatever I'm rolling.
Oh, Cruz. Hey, yo, Kino, let me talk to him for a minute, man. No shopping sprees on Melrose, those in the P.S. Chang's. Not ever meeting your folks, no, we not holding hands. Just what we got is special, much different than your man. He likes to cuddle with you, I like to smack your ass. I'm never lighting candles, I never bring you flowers. But while your boyfriend's at work, I'm crushing you for hours. Cause we don't share emotions, or address enemies. I'm like a private soldier, we friends with benefits. Ain't no commitment, I hit it and then I'm 95. You just from the beginning, so why you bitchin' wine? He like to spoon with you, get real romantic. I like gloom with the camera, I'm a pro-natic. Fogging up the lens, hoping in your legs. I ain't gonna show nobody, trust me, only show my friends. Cause you a superstar, far from Lupe. Head game like Paris, you the new Kim K. Hey.
Let's get together and take the trip. I'm down for whatever I'm rolling. Maybe together we'll look so fly. Looks like the sun I'm falling. Let's get together and take the trip. I'm down for whatever I'm rolling.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace. Don't forget, we're still giving away those tickets to Jim Jones and Vase Long Island at the Barrington in Hart Park, New York, October 12th. It's going to be going crazy out there that night. But with me right now, I have DL. DL, welcome to the show. DL, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you now. What's going on, D?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much, man. Just happy to be on the show, man. You know what I mean? Let's get it in.
Yeah, you know, it's an honor to have you on. I do appreciate you taking the time because you got a lot of things going on.
You got a whole lot of things going on. Yeah. I'm trying to live up to that whole King of Paper Chasing moniker, you know what I mean? So I stay busy.
No, yeah, we're going to let them know about that and the big screen and everything. Because you're rapping, you're CEO of film production and entertainment, record label, you just got it all. But let me ask you,
What made you first started rapping? How old was you?
Oh, man. I mean, I would say probably around 9 or 10 when I first started messing with it, and I started recording probably for the first time around 13.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, doing it for a minute.
Now, who would you say influenced you on becoming a rapper?
Influenced me. I mean, there's a lot of people, man. I mean, you can go, I could say cats like LL, Rakim. I mean, I always was a big fan of the music even before I started, so it even goes further back, because once you get into something, you know, for me anyway, a lot of times, it makes you want to just try to get as close to the origin of it as possible. So I say that to say, man, I could even say people like, you know, Kumo D, The Treacherous Three, man, and man, it's just so many. Melly Mel, Grandmaster Flash, and The Furious Five. There's so many cats back then that actually even inspired me just because I was just so, you know, intrigued and so just in love with the whole culture at the time that was developing, I should say.
Okay. Now, how did you come up with your name, DL? Does DL stand for? Is there a
DL? It's just a nickname that stuck as a kid, man. You know what I mean? It's just as simple as, yo, that DL, D-Love, whatever, you know? And it was just a nickname that stuck. No one ever really called me by my first name. So, you know, in the hood, man, most all cats in the hood have a nickname or something, you know? I had other nicknames, but I just chose to run with DL.
You just took it and left with it. I definitely
yeah, exactly.
On that one. Now, you released several mixtapes and the opportunity
right.
to have some of them hosted by some of the top DJs that's out. Tell us a little
right.
bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, basically just trying to be creative and you know, when you're not on a major label and you don't have just that multi-million-dollar machine behind you, you have to try to find different ways to break through. And what I would do, you know, I just basically, you know, I'm from New York City, so of course I had to just step to and get with some of the DJs from New York City just to keep it honest. But even above that, beyond that, I went, you know, to different regions, you know what I mean? I went to L.A. and hooked up with some DJs over there and had them host a mixtape. I went down south. I went to the Midwest, you know what I mean? So I just more or less wanted to just circle the wagon, so to speak, and just get my music out to the world.
I mean, yeah, so far, you know, it's everywhere. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Now, Boss Man was one of the top singles in the Billboard magazine hip hop charts. What was that
right,
feeling
right.
like?
I mean, it was cool. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. Anytime you hit any type of milestone when you're doing something that you love, it's definitely a good feeling. But at the same time, if you really keep your eye on the prize, you realize that's just one of your short term goals en route to the big goal. So though it felt good for a minute, it just was, you know, just another step achieved and had to keep it moving.
Mm. All right. Well, what I want to do right now, I want to get into one of your singles, Good to Be Here.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about
okay.
that single.
Good to Be Here, man. That's actually one of my favorite joints. It's a very celebratory, festive song. It's just more or less a song that it's good to be here in every sense of in a phrase, meaning, you know, good to be here mentally, financially, you know what I mean, emotionally, spiritually. You're just finally in a good place, and you just feel like celebrating. It's just about positive energy.
And what gave you the inspiration to, like, write that single?
When I really started understanding the importance of just peace of mind, you know what I'm saying? And peace of mind could come from many different walks. And once I started getting to that point where I started feeling like, okay, I got a beat on this thing. I think I know what it's going to take for me to get to that point in my life. It's just like, oh, man, it's good to be here. And I just ran with it.
All right, we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air or stay on the line to hear the show. Don't forget, we're still giving out those tickets to Jim Jones and Vase Long Island at the Barrington in Hart Park, New York. This right here is my man DL and one of his smashing singles, Good to Be Here. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
It's one of those feel-good joints right here. Come on.
It's good to be here.
I want to thank everybody for coming out. Help celebrate King of Paper Chasing the movie. Triple Beam Worldwide. And me, DL.
It's good to be here.
It's one of those 1 a.m. in the club jump off. This is for y'all.
It's good to be here.
And for the haters, well, it's for y'all. Let's go.
It's good to be here.
Mommy, you know I'm hot. Mommy, I glow try. Take you anywhere in this world to find your G-spot. Some haters know they not. That's why they cock block. They see the chains, the rings looking like glass tops. Yeah, ma, they ice grill. But ma, they know the deal. Ain't no word I could steal it. Give them something, make them feel. But come on, ma, let's keep it real. They wouldn't hear what the player was saying, so I put this shit to film. They Hollywood dudes, I'm Hollywood news. KOPC is in a store near you, family. What? Am I the truth? Put me in liquor stores for the large amounts of proof.
It's good to be here.
This is dedicated to those who never gave up. For you, I put a toast up.
It's good to be here.
And all the haters to pray they never see the day. Sorry, this is all I have to say.
It's good to be here.
La, 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 la. Hard body, how I got it in. Had money on these streets from Corona, stressed out to Binghamton. But had to move my life from the dark. Number 5 billboard charts ain't a bad start. Nah, you can hate all you want, it ain't stopping nothing. Y'all hate is 30 something, y'all need to do something. Why y'all despise? I'm on my grind. Every chick I rock will get a whip, bow tie. Why they drive? You yelling where the cash at? Haters, I'm tricking in Vegas. What's left over? I trick that on the NASDAQ. How ill is that? The realest cat. Who ain't going nowhere, haters, so adapt.
It's good to be here.
This is dedicated to those who never gave up. For you, I put a toast up.
It's good to be here.
And all the haters that pray they never see this day. Sorry, this is all I have to say.
It's good to be here.
La, 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 la. Something's up right here. In music terms, you a hot punk, I'm a hot career. Let's be clear, I persevered through the years. Haters, I had it popping over here. It ain't stopping. The player ran the block. The G chose the Glock, turned it up a notch. That's when I froze the watch. Had to endure my share of storms. But glad to say it ain't raining no more.
It's good to be here.
This is dedicated to those who never gave up. For you, I put a toast up.
It's good to be here.
And all the haters that pray they never see this day. Sorry, this is all I have to say.
It's good to be here.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
It's good to be here.
La, 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 la. It's good to be here.
D.
Yes, sir.
And that joint right there is fire.
Thank you, man.
Fire.
Thank you very much.
That joint. What was actually on your mind when you stepped in the studio and actually heard that beat and just started going to it?
I mean, it's just like I said, you know, I just, certain beats move me a certain way, and that particular track just had a very, just very party-like, festive, happy feel to it, and I was like, you know what? I could just relate that in so many ways to how I'm feeling, especially when I see me coming closer and closer to my goals, and the song just almost wrote itself, man.
Cause that joint right there, it definitely killed out in a club. Ain't no question about it. It was definitely killing in a club.
That.
Now, you were Triple Beam Entertainment.
Correct.
That served as a record label and a film and television company. Elaborate us on that.
Right. Yeah,
that's your CEO.
Yeah. Triple Beam Entertainment is a company I started. More or less, it's exactly what you said. You know, we have a music label, and we have the film and TV department, and basically, you know, just also have other little revenue streams like merchandising and things of that nature. And yeah, man, it's just about just trying to build a profitable, strong company that can not only facilitate what I need to do, but hopefully can pull in some others that may, you know, have the same aspiration.
Now, What makes your music different from everybody else's?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it makes it, what makes it different on my, from where I stand. I would say that what I think I do now that a lot of artists have abandoned is, you know, my music is more, it's more culture based, like it's more of a lifestyle I'm more or less rapping about and conveying. Like basically when I make my music, it directly reflects what's going on with me, where I've been, where I'm going, what I've done, what I'm trying to do. So I think a lot of artists today, the music that they're making doesn't really reflect that. It's just more, you know, the gimmicky, less, you know, what's hot right now type of model that they're following. So if there was any difference, I would say that my music is more to the side that I just told you about. I just try to convey a lifestyle and an image, a real image, not, you know, what's popular at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, would you consider yourself more as an MC or a rapper?
Both, because I feel like MCing-wise, I know, first and foremost, I understand the difference. You know what I mean? I think that's the first thing, because a lot of people can't even understand the difference between the two. Secondly, I know how to address each situation accordingly, meaning there's going to be certain records you got to MC. Like, you put me on a record with somebody like a Nas or Jay-Z or, you know, or Eminem. These cats are MCs, you know what I mean? But they also can rap. You got to understand the difference. You know, rapping for me anyway, my definition of it is more about, you know, you're making a song, and it's more to make a body of a song that has some type of appeal to it, commercial appeal to it. Whereas for me, when we start MCing is just about showing off your skills. So I might just start hitting you with a bunch of lyrics that might go over your head initially. You may have to double back and hear it again, and you know, there's what you'll call it, metaphors on top of metaphors that you have to figure out the cleverness or the wit to it, and you'd be like, oh, okay, I see where he's going with that. To me, that's more MCing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get into the movie scene real fast.
Okay.
King of Paper Chasing. What made you decide to do King of Paper Chasing?
King of Paper Chasing basically came from, like I said, the original idea stemmed from to even do a movie was, again, not dealing with a major label and trying to reflect a little bit of that light from the industry onto what we were doing. We said instead of spending money to make a bunch of videos, you know what I mean, that could, you know, potentially jump off or get lost in the mix, why not take some of that same money and just do a movie? You know, that's how it started. And then in terms of the movie, the concept of the movie, that's nothing more than just a loosely based lifestyle story of my life, me and my partner John J. Wall Wallace.
Oh, okay. So the movie is based upon your life.
Yeah, it's semi-biographical.
All right. Now, would you say it's more of a, how could I say it, drama, action, or is it like all in one? What would you say it is?
I mean, it's definitely drama. There's no question about that. And there is some action. I would definitely if you ask me, I would just call it, I would call it a hip-hop action drama. Let's call it that. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely feel you on that one. A hip-hop action drama. You know, got my mind twisted with that one right there. Wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a call on the line, but you're going to bring them in real fast.
Okay,
hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yo, what's good, Rich Money? How you doing, brother?
All right.
D.L., I got a question to ask you, right? First off, I like the song. It's definitely I like the song. I got a question to ask you, though. When it comes down to actually music and doing acting, which one do you prefer first? About the two-part question.
Which one do you prefer first, either music or acting?
Music. Easy. That's an easy one. Music all day.
Music, okay. And two, do you see it like, let's say if the doors were open up very majorly as far as, let's say, movie-wise, would you be willing to put down a music career to pursue your acting career, or would you always stay with the music?
Nah, I feel like you could do both. You know, I mean, there's a lot of actors that are musicians. Actually, I was in L.A. yesterday, and I ran into Terrence Howard from Hustle and Flow in the airport, and he's getting on the plane with his guitar. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't know he's a musician also. So
right.
I say that to say, you know, it, you don't have to limit yourself, man. You know, obviously you wanna play to whatever's working the best for you, but at the same time, if anything, it just creates more opportunity to do some of your other passions. And music is definitely a passion I would never abandon.
Okay. Like me, I'm an artist, so to speak. And I thought about doing the acting too. What kind of help can you give me to pursue those dreams and careers?
I mean, I can just tell you the path that I went. I would say first and foremost, you gotta tune everybody out, believe in yourself, make the decision that this is what you're gonna do, and stay the course. And once you, it's a mental game. You know, it's a mental game first and foremost. Mentalists have to battle. Once you're mentally, you know, prepared and dedicated to whatever it is that you're gonna do, then you have to go through the tedious work of, you know, making people see your vision or making people believe. And a lot of times it's gonna be through your actions that's gonna make them respond, not through your words. So you know whether it's you know knocking on doors, whether it's reaching out to people that may have some type of connect or have you know it's all about taking little baby steps to get to where you're going. I mean that's the best way I could put it.
Yeah, well, thanks. I definitely appreciate that.
I try to keep it 100, man. I try. I don't like to BS people because I don't like being BS. So I try to be as open and honest as possible. I'm transparent, as they say.
Okay. That's what's possible. You know, like I said, I'm loving that track. It's very hot, by the way. Very hot.
Thank you, man.
And of course, I'm staying on the show because I want to hear the next one that's coming up because I know there's another one coming up somewhere around here. So, brother, you got my undivided attention.
Nah, I appreciate that, man. It's love.
And please keep doing what you're doing because we need more real hip hop artists out there.
Nah, I am, man. I mean, no intentions on stopping.
All right, brother. Definitely on the show and I'm listening. All
right. Good looking, man. Appreciate you.
All right, brother.
All
right. You know what? I want to play the next track. Matter of fact, the next caller after DL next track will get 2 tickets to Jim Jones and Vase Long Island at the Bamerton in Hart Park, New York. All right?
Oh, that's what's up. That's a good look.
Yeah, yeah. So now, what I want you to do for me, D, I want you to let us know something about your next single that's hitting the nation hard, Off the Books. Tell us about that single.
Off the Books, man. I mean, that joint is true to who I am. You know what I mean? That was a song that I'll even be even more honest with you. I was just going through some issues, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's one of them times where it seems like anything that can go wrong will, and people start to show their true colors, even the people that you think is the closest to you. And it was a situation like that where I'm definitely one of those people that my music is my therapy. So when I was going through all of this stuff, it's just stuff that comes to mind, man. I just putting it on paper. Because I'm a very sarcastic person. Anybody that knows me tell you that. So when I'm feeling a way, especially in a way towards situations that's going on, I could be very sarcastic. And I'm like, what better rap to have than sarcastic rap? You know what I mean? It's like that's what makes it hot. I mean, you're just a smart ass. That's what makes Jay-Z so hot, if you ask me. But that's what made, you know, that's where Off the Books came from, man.
All right. Well, we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, the next caller that calls in after DL's track that's hitting the nation Off the Books will win 2 tickets to Jim Jones and Vase Long Island at the Barrington's in Hart Park, New York. D, introduce your next track.
This is the next joint. Actually, we just shot a video for this joint, so look out for it. It's Off the Books from that King of Paper Chasing soundtrack. You already know.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
This is for the streets, strictly for the streets. This is for the streets, strictly for the streets. This is for the streets, strictly for the streets. This is for the streets, strictly for the streets. This is for the streets, strictly for the streets. This is for the streets, strictly for the streets. This is for the streets, strictly for the streets. This is for the streets, strictly for the streets.
Pop champagne, it's a celebration. Every time one of my G's avoid incarceration. Welcome to the inauguration of the El Carte Blanche, the feature presentation. Usher me in as I lose these lanes and shake myself free of all these flaky dames who all claim that they ride or die. It's all good until the turbulence arrives. The hustler's life's full of smiles and frowns. When it frowns, time to move more bricks and pounds. See what you people done made me. My attitude now, fuck you, pay me. No tats on my frame, etch my name in these streets. Play the game like a world-class athlete. The king of paper chasing what my niggas name me. Ain't nothing sweet, but I'm the sugar, honey, iced tea. And I don't need no hook. This shit is off the books. We live the street life. Ain't money, why do you look? In the presence of crooks, we live the street life. Come from a place where still settle most debates. Live that crooked life so my kids' life is straight. Hustle for meals with deals in the back alley. Ain't no credit over here, only cash and carry. Trust at a premium, if at all. Get caught slipping, family, catch that morning call. Fuck your back, nigga, watch your front. Or get confronted by some niggas who do what they want. Murder's the case that they gave me. My lawyer said, fuck it, do you, just retain me. Keep hitting the scores like it's target practice. When you cop your whips, only time you paying taxes. On the road to the riches, I'm in overdrive. Dollar signs, only signs that I abide by. A street savvy motherfucker till the day I die. You need proof, half a NY cosign. Yeah, yeah. I don't need no hook. This shit is off the book. We live the street life. Ain't money, why you look? You in the presence of crooks. We live the street life. My advances in the underworld. Got a nigga getting advances from your girl. She want a real G to blow her back. Ain't no hot rapper jump shot to fuck with that. Now on Twitter, I'm the latest trend. Round that time, I picked the shorty up in the Benz. Hell yeah, say, no, my other Benz. And shorty, that's my girl's other friend. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. More chips, we did a cookie on my famous Amos. Glorify crime, so they try to shame us. But give us no other options. Can you really blame us? Please, don't compare. Me to these rappers, it's like Trump to Lotto millionaires. From the east, mid to west coast, I do this for my real hustlers. Here's a toast, now live it up. And I don't need no hook. This shit is off the books. We live the street life. Yeah. Ain't money, why you love? You in the presence of crooks. We live the street life.
D-L. Yo, you is killing it. The line is on fire. Don't forget, press 1 if you want to win those tickets to Jim Jones and Vase Long Island. If you're on your PC, the number is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. We want my man D.L. doing his thing, King of paper chasing, his motion picture. We just played another one of his hot singles off the book, which is actually on the soundtrack, right?
Yes, on the soundtrack.
It's actually on the soundtrack. Now, let's talk about King of Paper Chasing. Who direct and produced the film?
A good friend of mine, Lamont Edwards, directed it, and I executive produced it. So it was more or less a collaboration like that.
Now, tell us a little bit about the film, because, like we said, it's filled with deception, betrayal, sex, and greed. It's full of all that. What's your best part in the film?
All of it. All of it. You know what I mean? Nah, but seriously, I mean, there's definitely a few scenes in there that, of course, I like more than others. I would say I like the ending, you know, only because by the time you get to it, it's so much stuff going on. People's natural reaction is, how are they going to tie this all in? How is this going to make sense when it's said and done? So I like to see how people react in their responses to the ending. So that would be the best. That and the beginning and the end. You know what I mean? Those are my two favorites.
Okay. Now, what was something you know now that you wish you would have known starting out as an actor?
Starting out as an actor, I wish I would have known. It's a good question. I just wish that I would have known a little bit more about the business before I got into it. But then when I say that, it's almost like if I would have known more, I don't know if this would ever happen. You know what I mean? Because just to keep it 100%, my ignorance to what I was getting into was a really big catalyst in me being able to get this done. You know what I mean? I just was running with blind ambition. And luckily, because I didn't really know what I was getting into, was why I was able to just not be denied and get this film done.
Okay.
Yeah, because everybody would tell, like, and that's why I was telling the caller, man, you know, you have a lot of people in your ear telling you a lot of things, you know, and I'm just the type of person where if you're telling me something, you know, I'll listen to you. If you make sense, I will listen. But if you tell me I can't do something and you can't give me a really good enough reason, you know, if I feel like you're just putting your shortcomings on me, you know what I mean, then that's not going to fly. So if you can't give me a good reason why something can't happen, I'm going to get it done, or I'm going to try my damnedest to get it done. And that's what it was with the movie. You know, everybody kept telling me how hard it was, it can't be done, but no one could really explain to me in a way that I could believe it or understand why it couldn't be done. But then after I got involved, you know, you get involved and you're doing all the work and you start seeing how hard it is, you're like, wait a minute, this is a lot of work, you know? And then you have so many things that have to go right also, which I definitely feel like, you know, me and the crew was blessed that a lot of things really went right, and all the things that people were scaring me with, I really luckily didn't have to deal with. So, you know, that's the one thing that still plays in my head in terms of what I know now as opposed to what I know before.
Okay. All right, listen up, people, because the lodge is on fire. Real talk. If you want to win tickets to Jim Jones, press 1, and you will be the caller to win tickets to Jim Jones as soon as the switchboard operator goes to you. We're not going to just pick anybody. You have to press 1, so we're not going to the phone lines to pick you out. All right? Yeah, because the lodge is on fire right now. I'm looking at it. What? They have to press 1. We're not just going to go and pick you out of the lineup. I want you to press 1 to win tickets to Jim Jones and Vinny Long Allen at the Barrington October 20th. All right. D, let me ask you this. Now, I know, I believe he asked you, but I'm not sure. Which one you enjoy doing the most? Is it acting or in seeing?
Well, I enjoy most, but I enjoy both, I should say, but definitely the music. You know what I mean? The music is just so organic and just it's so much more freedom to really just get into your craft, man. Not to say you can't do it with acting, but, you know, you unless you're doing some type of one-man show, you know, you have other people involved. So it's with so far you can really go when you're trying to work within a group. Whereas with music, especially as a solo artist, man, you know, sky's the limit, man. You do what you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Now,
yeah.
You did a couple of performances, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait. I just seen somebody press one.
Okay.
Nope, we just lost him.
Oh, he's tight right now.
No, they just pressed one and then they stopped. That caller, you could call back if you want to. Oh, and you can win tickets to Jim Jones. We're going to get to that. But what I want to ask you, Dia, is you did performances, right? Did ever come a time when you was like stage fright and you threw on a dark shade? Because, you know, a lot of singers and MCs, when they get nervous, what they do is they throw on a black shade so nobody can actually see their eyes, you know, eyes be closed. That way they feel more comfortable. Was you ever in a position like that?
It's like they say, the eyes are the window to your soul, right? I wear shades on stage from time to time. I do that. But as far as stage fright, no. You know, I definitely get the adrenaline rush, and you get the, you know, you get the butterflies in your stomach or whatever, but it's a good energy for me. I keep it real. The way I deal with that is I put everything in perspective. You know, when I start thinking about some of the things I've done in real life and some of the things that are truly important, and I look at it in that perspective, it's like it just makes me just look at the stage like, oh, this is a cakewalk. You know, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I just find a way to deal with it so I could get it done and 9 times out of 10. And plus the other thing is, too, you know, this is the hardest time because as more and more people get familiar with my music and become fans, then it really becomes a cakewalk because they're already ready for you. You know what I mean? You're not really trying to win as many people over. Right now, you're still kind of auditioning. So being that I don't feel it now, I know I'm definitely not going to feel it as things grow, you know?
I definitely feel you on that one. Now, as far as you doing the performances and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's on your mind when you first go to step out on that stage? What's the first thing that come to mind?
Oh, that's easy. Don't forget the lines. Yo, you got so many thoughts running through your head, man. You're like, am I gonna remember this damn song? You know, for real.
Wow.
Wow.
Don't forget the line.
Okay,
I got a couple of callers now, so I'm just trying to decide on which one to push. You know what I mean?
Man.
My word to the man above. I got a couple of callers right now, and I'm just trying to decide on which caller to push to win the tickets. You understand? But I like to keep people a little anxious sometimes. You know what I mean? So what we're going to do is, okay, what we're going to do is, I'm going to come back because we're going to listen to DL's next track that's hitting the nation called First Class. Soon as that track is over, I'm pushing a button and that caller will win tickets to Jim Jones and Vane Long Island at the Barrington Theater. At the Barrington Club. All right? Now, tell us a little bit about First Class, DL.
First Class is, you know, it's more of an R&B type song. It's, you know, I wanted to have a little bit of, like I said, I try to give you all of me, and I feel like I have a few different dimensions that I want to share. I did it with, I don't know if a lot of people remember Mona Lisa, the R&B singer. She's featured on there, and, you know, we came together and we did the song, man, and I really like it. So that's all I could say about that one.
Okay, so you know what?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dons and Divas, here's some more fire by DL. Stay on the line because the next caller will win tickets to Jim Jones and Vane Long Island at the Barrington in Hyde Park, New York. Here it is, another banger by DL, First Class. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Mm-hmm. will beam worldwide. Flight 106, now departing New York City. Destination, wherever you want to go.
What a difference a year makes. Now the make so 11, crib more than 7 figures. Mommy nighttime don't exist. When I lost that wrist, cats been rocking like this. Nothing new, these new money dudes. Schooling who? Think not. Without saying a word, my rep says a lot. The fire to them streets made it hot. Showtime. When I peel that top off the drop, y'all like sneakers without laces to these blocks. No ties, it's all lies. Ran with ghetto thugs and wise guys. Transition to something more civilized. Tailor suits, hard bottoms, and expensive ties. 10 years later, all legitimized. But don't let the suit fool your money.
So powerful and privileged.
Uh-huh.
Living life, no boundaries. The possibilities are endless. Bright lights, first class flights. Bottles pop in a different club every night. So exclusive.
Street politics, lobby for them ones. And my constituents carry guns. Keep the mental, putting in work. Since some days we put work inside the Cougar rental. Drama of all sorts, went from trips to court to taking trips and need a passport. Deep in this game, why these haters critique? Watching my life from Baidu's window seat. Pay dues, pay Jews. Now I reside with skyline city views. Another day in the life. This life gets another day with your wife. She all in my ear talking where she wanna go. In a blink from the stove to the cold. That's the G code. The DL carte blanche triple beam flow.
VIP.
Hustlers know. Mona,
so powerful,
let's go.
Living life, no boundaries. The possibilities are endless. Bright lights, first class flights. Bottles pop in a different club.
Baby. I'm off the street, on to the next. Watching my highs of the day on the Forex. If this over your head, I'm talking bread. Same thing that got you broad over my head. Got you haters sick, how your face cringe. Sorta like your shorty when I slide in. It's a rich man's world, so I pretend. All about a dollar, let's be talking yen. Cause it's worth more. Like your VVS stones to your S floor. Want the world? Well, it costs more. She was riding with you, but took a detour. You cataract cats can't see. King of paper chasing on that movie marquee. On TV and on DVD. They keep yelling it, but no, really. My life's a movie.
VIP,
it's actually quite good.
Sweet,
really need to
so
check it out.
Powerful and privileged. Living life, no boundaries. The possibilities are endless. Bright lights, first class flights. Bottles pop in a different club every night. So exclusive, no limit, no limit. You're living that life.
Yo, D, you definitely doing it. You is definitely doing it.
Nah, thank you, man.
Ain't no question about it. What I want to do right now, real fast, D, you there?
Sir. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put on the next caller.
Okay.
And see who won the tickets. Hello, welcome to GQ Palace. You on the air.
Hello.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
Makiba.
Makiba?
No, Makiba. M-A-K-E-B.
Oh, Makiba. All right,
yes.
Makiba. You just won 2 tickets to Jim Jones and Bay Long Island at the Barrington in Hart Park, New York. It's no joke.
Yay!
It's no game. It's all real. All right, you just won 2 tickets. And you got all right. GQ Palace will be in the building also. Jim Jones will be in there. Eureka Rose will be in the house. DJ Self from 105.1 will be there. So it's definitely going down.
Live.
You know. So congratulations on that. And you
Thank
also have
you.
My man D. You're welcome. You also have my man DL on the line. He's doing big things. He got a motion picture out called King of Paper Chasing. You know, he's definitely doing big things. We'd like to give him a shout out also.
Excuse me?
She's lost right now. She's lost right now. I said, you got my man DL on the line. You got a motion movie out, big screen. King
of
Paper Chasing.
How you doing? How you doing, Makita? I'm okay. I'm not as good as you, though, man. You got some tickets to Jim Jones. I'm a little jealous.
You doing better than me. You got a song on the radio.
Now, you want to trade? You want to trade?
I like it. It was nice.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wow. Makita, you could definitely stay on the line. Because the switch operator needs to get in touch with you to get your information and everything, all right?
All right, thank you. Shout out to you.
You're welcome. All right.
Take it easy,
Makita. All right, D, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Now, you also involved in a positive direction organization that provides kids with academic scholarship, mentorship opportunities, and basketball programs. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's the program that goes on in Queens. You know, a few years ago, my brother pulled me into it because, just something that we wanted to do, and he was already involved with it. So I just was like, you know, hey, what better way than to show what we're trying to do in terms of lead by example than to try to do what we can on our end to help the kids, man. That's what it's about, you know. And it's so funny because when I was younger, I used to just think that was just words. You never really understood the impact. But, you know, kids are really a valuable commodity, and they do shape the world as we know it tomorrow. So, you know, because of that, man, we got involved. I mean, I got involved. He was involved already. I got involved, and we continue to do stuff to this day.
That's definitely a real good thing. And the lines is still on fire. Listen, people, if you want to speak to DL as well, press 1 to go on the air to speak to DL and let him know what's going on. Let him know how you feel about his materials so he can fill you in on that big movie screen picture he got going on, King of Paper Chasing. What else you got going on? You know, you got mixtapes coming up, D?
Well, actually, right now, the King of Paper Chasing soundtrack, it is. I released it as a free download. You know what I mean? People could go to the website and get it. Triplebeamworld.com, and they could download it for free. As far as upcoming stuff, I got King of Paper Chasing 2. We actually go into a production with that early next year. They actually developing a TV series spinoff of it. You know, so those are the main two things that's on the fire right now. And other than that, you know, just keeping it real, man. Just trying to keep getting it, keep going, and keep growing.
I feel you. Now, how do you balance all that out? CEO of the entity, Triple Beam Entertainment, the acting, the music. How do you balance everything out to get yourself at a steady pace?
I mean, it's hard. I'm not even going to lie, man. It's hard, but at the same time, you know, what I always remind myself of is we don't do anything we don't want to do. You know what I mean? So I keep that in my head, and I make sure that I always remember that, and that's what keeps me from being lazy. That's what keeps me from not, you know, following through on stuff, because at the end of the day, like I was telling my homeboy earlier, you do no one's going to believe in you like you believe in yourself, you know? And you have to walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. So I find a way to balance everything I do because it's what I want to do.
I definitely feel you. We have a call on the line for you. We're going to bring that call on.
Okay.
Hello. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hello. You on the air? You got DL on the line?
Hi, DL. How are you?
How you doing? What's your name?
My name is Rach.
How you doing, Rach?
I am fine. I was listening to the music, and I want to say that I do love the music. I am an official fan of yours.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, Ray. Sounds very heartfelt, man. You got me blushing over here.
And I also wanted to say much luck, many blessings to all and everything that you do, and hope that you are successful and even more successful and even more successful.
Thank you very much. I truly appreciate that. And that's what motivates me. Thank
that's
you.
What's up. I am an official fan.
That's what's up, man. I'm definitely feeling the love. Thank you very much, Rach.
You're welcome. Have a nice night.
You too.
Thanks.
Rach, thanks for calling, Rach.
Yeah, I don't know if you can go behind that one, man. I don't know, Rich. I don't know if you can go behind that one. That was a good one.
Rach. Rach. Wow, I don't know. But why don't you give everybody your information
and let them know?
I mean,
a few different handles. You know, you get me on Twitter. It's DL_TripleBeam. The website, TripleBeamWorld.com. On Facebook, it's DLNYC, the number one. And, yeah, man, that's pretty much it. I'm pretty much all over the internet, you know what I mean? If you want to find me, follow me. You know, SoundCloud, all that good stuff.
Wow. Yep. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
I want to shout-out you guys, man. The radio station showing me love, man, having me on tonight. I want to shout-out all the listeners, you know, that took the time to listen to the interview. I take nothing for granted and appreciate everything, man. That's pretty much it. And just say, yo, look out for more stuff coming from DL and the Triple Beam family.
Well, hold on, dude. We have another caller for you on the line. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you have DL on the line.
Hey, DL, this is Nina. How are you, honey?
How you doing? You said Nima?
Nina, N-I-N-A.
Nina, okay. Hey, Nina. Hi, Nina. I know Nina.
How are we? Yes.
I'm okay. How's it going?
I'm good. I just had to call in and show love and support, you know, let you know that I support you 1,000% of what you got going on.
I know.
I can't get enough.
Nina shows me mad love, y'all. I'm telling you, man. Every time I look, Nina is definitely holding me down, man. So I totally, definitely appreciate you. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you, and we're looking forward to everything you got going on. Did the video drop already?
Nah, it's not. It didn't drop yet, but it will be out in October. You know, and it's funny too, Rich. I heard you say Eureka Rose is going to be at that show with Jim Jones. Eureka Rose is actually in the video.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's small world, right? But, So, yeah, the video will be out in October, and we're actually shooting a video for Good to Be Here as well. So, you know, look out for that.
Oh, most definitely. We'll look out for anything that you guys got going on. You know what it is. Texas supports you 100%.
Texas in the house.
Okay. You went in on that joint, too.
I just had to call in and show my love for you, you know. Continue doing your thing. Continue grinding, and we're looking forward to everything, baby.
I look forward to y'all when I come down to Texas, man. I know y'all going to hold me down.
You already know that. We got you.
All right.
You take care. All
right, take care, Jamina.
We have another caller for you on the line. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'll get some love to you ladies. How you doing? What's your name?
My name is Kim.
Oh, how you doing, Kim?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing really good, man. I'm getting all these calls from beautiful women, man. How can I not be good? For real.
Look, I wanted to say I love LL, and when I tell you, I thought that I was listening to LL Cool J.
I get that a lot. We actually are friends. We're associates. I don't want to say the word friends. We're associates. We actually grew up in the same neighborhood. So that's where some of the mannerisms and likeness may come from, and just our
the way we talk.
Yeah, and I love LL. And when I was just listening, I'm like, oh, I like this. Is this LL? I'm like, is this LL? Okay. Or LL's brother or something, you know?
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, but, yeah, I get that a lot.
But I love the music. I love the music, definitely. I just wanted to know, how do you balance everything? And do you travel with it?
It's hard, you know, but like, you know, like I said, I don't pretend like what I do is anything special. It's just hard work, you know, and it goes to anybody you see on TV, whether it's videos, going to concerts, they all put in that same type of work, you know. It's just something that you have to commit and do if this is what you truly want, and that's, I've just fully subscribed to it. I know that there's no cutting corners, there's no getting around it, no cheating it. You got to put the work in to get the results that you're looking for, and that's how I figure it out, and I just stay true to that and get it done.
Well, you're definitely doing it. You're definitely doing it. And I have to say, my favorite song is, I think it's Good to Be Here or To Be Here.
Oh, okay. That's a party song.
Yeah, of course.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's supposed to make you feel good, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, everybody can, you know, relate to that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think everybody can, you know, young and old, I think everybody can definitely, you know, relate to it. What age group are you trying to target, though?
I wouldn't say that's the beauty of hip-hop. I don't really know if it's so much trying to target a certain age group as opposed to just trying to create an energy that people can relate to, whether young or old, because it's hip-hop. So hip-hop, you automatically think the youth. But at the same time, hip-hop's been around so long now, and you have, like, I've seen, you know, men in their 50s, you know, late 60s, drive down the block rocking Jay-Z's Dead President. You know what I mean? So, so that's how I just know, you know, it's just all about the energy and who can gravitate to it.
Right. Well, you definitely,
mm-hmm.
definitely have my ears glued. I'm like the other baller. I am definitely a fan.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Kel. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. You too.
All right, D. We're going to take one more call, and the phone lines is just...
Okay.
Hello? Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, D. How are you?
How you doing? Who am I speaking with?
It's Carmella.
How you doing, Carmella?
I'm doing good, and yourself? I just wanted to give a big shout out to you and tell you your music is on the one.
Oh,
I really
you.
Like
thank
it.
Thank you very much.
You know,
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? Where are you from? I'm just asking.
I'm originally from Bell South. I'm from Bell South.
I just wanted to make sure. You said the music is on the one, so I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm from Bell South.
That's all good. I got a lot of love for Bell South.
Thank you. But keep up the good work and always keep God first.
Nah, we'll do. No, without question. Thank you, Carmella.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. D, is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Yeah, like I said before, man, just to you guys, the radio station, to all the listeners, everybody showing me love. It's just, you know, I'm down for anybody that's down for me, man. I'm all about positive energy.
No doubt. And, you know, you're always
mm-hmm.
welcome back here anytime. There's never a problem. You have
appreciate
the number.
That.
Whenever you're ready to make it happen, you want to send some exclusives, it's never a problem.
Done deal. I appreciate that, man.
It's definitely an honor having you on, man. Real talk.
I'm going to be on.
All right. DL,
okay.
Dawes and Divas.
All right, everybody. Thank y'all.
All right. Coming up next, author Matilda Wells. And we're going to be talking about her recent novel, Malik. We also will be talking about some of her past novels, Who You Calling, Runaways, and He's Only Mine Part-Time. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
There's something about young love,
young love.
So many people say that it is so impossible.
Yeah,
impossible.
Yeah, yeah,
impossible. Yeah. This is how I feel. Ever since I met you, girl, everything about me changed. Suddenly I feel alive, something about you by my side. Me and you against the world, finally a diamond girl. I ain't even been the same ever since I heard your name, girl.
My heart skips a beat sometimes.
I've been waiting all my life, think I finally found my wife. I don't wanna rush your heart, take your time, sweetheart. Say the word and I'll come wherever you are. Sure. Yeah, when you need me, just reach out, and I'll be close enough to witness the moment you say, yeah. For me to live without you, for me to breathe without you, 'cause I can see just who I'm supposed to be. Touch the moon, look what our love can do. Got forever in my sight, I saw heaven in your eyes. Just what I was dreaming of. Need you on my team because you make me a superstar. I don't need a fancy car.
You are.
I've been waiting all my life. I think I finally found my wife. Wanna walk you down that aisle. Me and you together now. Happiness everywhere. Since I found my shorty. To witness the moment you say, yeah. For me to live
without you,
for me to live without you, 'cause I can see just who I'm supposed to be.
Welcome back to GQ Palace. We have with us tonight, for the last part of our segment, author Matilda Wells. Matilda, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hello, good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. No, it's an honor to have you on.
It's an honor to be here.
No, I know you got a lot of things going on. A whole lot of things. You know, your novels is just...
Yeah, God is best.
know, yes, yes, that's good. God is good. He bless you. You know? Now, what I want to get into is your novel. What made you decide to write your first novel?
Well, it was my mom who told me that I should write because she saw that I was an A student in school, grammar school, and she was my major influence on that.
Now, I want to get into your recent novel before we get into the other ones. Malik, tell us a little bit about that novel.
Well, Malik is really not recent. I wrote that. That was actually one of my first novels.
Oh, what? Oh, okay.
Actually, yeah, because it's based on a true story. Some of the characters I actually know, and based on things that happened in their lives, in my life, you know, that's how I write. So, yeah.
Okay.
Malik has been around for a while, yet it was under another title. Originally, it was The Sad Club.
Okay. Now, when naming your characters in your novel, do you give any thought to the actual meaning when naming them?
Yeah, as I said, a lot of my writing comes from real-life experiences and real-life people, and I just take people I know and put their personality behind the character and go from there. I know people that they're jokesters, comedians. You know, they like to keep people laughing. I always implement that into my writing, you know. So, you know, just everyday people.
Okay. Was it ever a time when you wrote about someone and they felt like you didn't describe them the way they felt they should have been described in your novel, and ever came to that situation?
Well, I'm sure authors write and everybody can relate to something that they've written about. But yes, actually, some of my fans have said that they know a person, you know, fitting the description of my characters. Actually, yes. So, I write on a contemporary style, a modern-day style, so, and I try to put issues in there that people can relate to, so yeah, actually.
So, what are the major themes of your work?
I write based on, all of my works tie in together. I was in school, elementary school, and kindergarten, a victim of bullying and maybe name calling or whatever you want to call it, stereotypical type of things that people just, you know, take a pick out on you for no reason. I'm sure people can relate to going to school and somebody maybe they got a bully waiting on them after school. and that's talked about a lot in the news now, and I never would I have known that I used that style of writing to talk about in my books, that it would be so talked about now in the news and kids, what they're going through in school. And I said, hey, I went through that. So, yeah. Like I say, Malik and Who You Calling were under two different titles, and they were some of my first works, and they were based on stereotypical. Malik, actually, I wrote it based on people always criticizing the young people about sagging. And adults have always had their own way of dressing. The hippies, the flower childs, the afros, the dashikis. So, you know, just because, you know, I know the meaning behind SAG, but actually everybody, you know, doesn't fit that description or that meaning. They just have their own independent way of dress. So, hey, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a criminal because you dress SAG. So that's
exactly
some of the things I bring out in my book, Malik.
Oh, okay. Now, your covers. Do you design your own covers, or do you have somebody that's actually designed your covers for you, or do you do that yourself?
I don't. I have some talented people. Actually, my first husband was responsible for getting the artists for my the Malik cover and the Who You Calling cover. Actually, the covers now on Who You Calling was done by, it was an original, it's not the same cover because I changed the title, I changed the story a little bit, so it's a different cover. But I don't really know that artist's name. I hadn't met him, unfortunately. But Mr. Michael Jones is responsible for some of the three other covers. But I do give them the concept, the theme, the idea, and they work from what I give them.
Oh, okay. Now, do you do your own publishing, or are you involved with a publishing company?
In the beginning, I had publishers. I've had two publishers, and many authors probably can relate to the fact that if you have a publisher, if it's not like a major traditional publisher that's going to write you an advance check and you can sit at home and just write, you have to really get out and do your own legwork anyway. You're going to have to buy your own books and get out there and do the hustle. They're not going to really do that for you. So that's the issue a lot of authors run into. So I had a 7-year contract and I canceled, and so now I'm self-publishing, doing my own thing. Yeah.
Okay, so how long did it actually take you to publish your own book? And when was it first available to the public?
First available to the public, it took me like, I'd say a year to write each book. And my first two books were on the shelf. We were not, I mean, I started shopping it after I proofed it and edited and everything. Got tons of contracts. I'm like, well, I'm a first-time author, so, you know, I'm not going to have that many offers. So I just signed, and not knowing that I probably could have killed out. But it didn't take, you know, a good year, the next year maybe, when I finished it, it was on the shelf and almost sold out the first day, first book signing. So they put them on the shelf. I think it was Books a Million. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you had a chance to get a movie option for one of your novels, which one would it be and why?
Actually, I do have that on the table right now.
Okay.
Well, according to my agent, I don't want to get my hopes high, but I have so many disappointments, so I'm just praying and waiting. I had to make a decision on which book I wanted to get a movie script done, and I decided Malik. And because every time I submit my work to companies, they pick that one first. So I'm saying, well, maybe this has something. And actually, according to my agent, Mr. John Alexander, he calls himself the screenwriter. I meet with producers for Lionsgate and Inline in November. So hopefully something will become of that, prayerfully.
Now, when you publish your book, how long does it actually take for you to get it on the shelf?
Like I said, my first two novels, the next year was out there, and I have stacks of contracts that I never signed, and I just have them here at the house as a memory because, you know, I'm like, if publishers really don't do what they say they're going to do in the contract as they submit it to me and they don't really put the work out there, promote it like I do, I can do for myself, I don't re-sign or whatever. But like I said, the first two novels were signed the very next year that I finished the work, so it doesn't take long. And publishers, if they don't like your work and they don't see potential, they're not going to offer you anything.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do right... Okay, I didn't hear you. What you said, Matilda?
Uh-huh.
Not that you said something. What did you say?
Oh, I said I was blessed.
I'm publishing. Okay. Now, as you growing up, did you actually think that you would be writing so many novels at this present time? Did you think that something that stuck with you while you was growing up, or did you just decide one day I want to write this book?
No, I had no idea about writing novels. Running around, little nappy head, country girl, barefoot. No idea. I was into music. I listened to music, and I discovered that I could sing when I was like 7 years old, and I was writing song lyrics. And I said, I got a voice, and I can sing. And that's what I did. I was performing a little bit. Well, I sang in church growing up and in the school choirs and did a few talent shows and things on my own. And that's when I discovered, hey, I can write a little bit. And then my mom said, why don't you try writing books? And that's what I did, you know?
Okay. We're going to do is we're going to take a brief intermission, and we're going to be right back. The phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air and speak to Arthur Matilda Tilly Wells. You can stay on the line to hear the show. This is GQ Palace. We'll be right back after this brief intermission.
There's something about your love.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I do with my baby.
Yes. She had built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
We've had some ups and downs. Made a lot of bad mistakes. But we've always had some good times. And through it all, you helped me down. Baby, you've always held it down. Ooh, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
Love is so strong, you know.
You know,
I know you and me.
We
don't say
it.
We don't say it.
I just want to give to you,
give
make
you
love to you,
love to you.
Put you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Time when you was dealing with publishing companies, did it ever come a time where they changed any titles of your novels?
No, actually, I've never had that problem. Pretty much they with whatever title I presented to them, and actually, I still get contracts, and I submit work, and I get a contract back with the very same title, so they don't have any problems with it. I mean, so far, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to have a caller.
Go ahead.
Matilda?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. What you gonna say? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I haven't had that issue. I haven't run across that yet. That issue yet.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a caller on the line, so you're gonna bring them on. Hello,
okay.
Caller. Are you there?
Hi. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Hello.
Okay. You have Matilda Wells on the line, author. She has a very, very good novel. You have a couple of good novels that's out right now. You know, Malik. She has Malik, who you calling? Runaway, and He's Only Mine Part Time. You have something you would like to ask her?
Yes, I would. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. How long did it actually take you to write your first novel?
It took me a year. And I am a homebody person anyway. I stay in the house pretty much, so there's no problem. Write a little bit, go to sleep, wake up, write a little bit, go to sleep, wake up.
Wow.
So it took me a year. One of my co-authors, it took him 2 years to write his novel, which is He's Only Mine Part Time. So I think I did pretty good for a year.
Oh, yes, definitely. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't read any of your literature yet, but I definitely look forward to reading your literature. And many blessings and good luck with everything that you do.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Blessings to you also. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
We have another call for you, Matilda.
Cool. Thank you.
Hello, Carla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You got Matilda Wells on the line.
Hi, Ms. Wells, how are you?
Excuse me.
How are you? Good, thank you. I just wanted to know, with the prices of your books, do you find that with the prices being economically big, so to speak? Because there's a lot of books out there that are like $20, $30, I mean, just for books. And some people are like, okay, that's a little bit expensive. Do you find that the prices of your books will make you have a better turnout? Or is it more, you know, do you have any books that's, you know, I'll say expensive because of the economy?
I'm always thinking about my fans and people who buy books, and that's an argument I had with my publishing company. Why do you set the price so high? The economy has always been kind of bad to me, so I'm like thinking about, so, you know, this is like a pastime thing for people, you know, a hobby. They don't have to purchase it, like food, water, clothes, shoes, you know. So I try to keep it on the low. At one time, I was offering my novels for a very economical price, and my husband made a statement. He said, he said, if you offer your novels for too low of a price, that means it's not, you know, he said the word, but I'm not going to say that word.
Yeah, but you're not going to make much, though.
Right, but
that word too much.
I understand. I do. But right now, it's just in ebook form, and I'm working on getting the paperback, hardback, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, ebooks shouldn't, you know, really have a high price. That's my way of thinking anymore.
Okay. So pretty much there's no like hard copies right now. If we wanted to go like online, we'd be able to just like download it to like our computer, you know, our iPad or something like that, and be able to read it there.
The electronic devices are very popular now, and mm-hmm. if you've been watching the news, reading online, a lot of the bookstores are being shut down.
Mm-hmm.
People are going now. I know there are people that like to hold books in their hands and read it and all. And I will get back to those, because I know sometimes people like to have book signings and come out and meet the author.
Right.
I'm working on it.
Okay. But and with all of the books that you have, you know, written so far, which one would you say would be your favorite?
My favorite?
Yes.
My first two novels, I'd say, are my favorite. But out of those two, that's Malik and Who You Calling. Like each of those were at a different title one time. But my favorite is Who You Calling, and actually I changed that title recently. And I have an offer on the table right now, a television series spinoff from that particular book. I pitched out an idea, and they liked it. And so that's in the works. I mean, it's not in the works. It's on the table. So I'm praying for that one, too. But Who You Calling is my favorite, because it's dealing with females and, you know, it's a fun book, adventurous, and it talks about, like I was saying earlier, about young people and how they have the stereotypical thing going on, and seeing a person
calling out a name, but this person is really not that way, and that's how I deal with most of issues in my writing, modern day issues and what's going on in the lives of young people.
And what would, if you don't mind me asking, what would make you change the title of the book? Like, is there something?
The message of this particular one that I'm talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you can fill in that line with anything, like I said, young people go through the bullying and the name calling. You know, you can pretty much put in that line with anything. Say you were a kid and you got called this name and you didn't like it. So what was that they teased you about when you were young?
Okay. So you're pretty much changing the name. Is more like, I don't want to say that, but
something you can relate to.
Okay. So you pretty, okay. All right, and is it the same thing for all of the novels that you changed the name to? Or?
Well, I haven't changed the names on all of the novels, just my first two. Every now and then, authors go back and try to modernize and bring their writing current, so that's much what I did. Pretty much what I did.
What is the book, I saw it online, Runaways,
yeah.
What is that about? Like, you know, not, of course, in full detail, but a brief description. You know, I like to be able to, you know, a lot of, I work with kids, and just by reading the title alone, you know, on Facebook, would it be something that kids could read?
Yeah, I think 16-year-olds, yes, own up, because it deals with the issues of running away, because we have a lot of that. But this book was based back in like the 1960s. Where we were dealing with a lot of racial issues and discrimination, the lynching, and these two young people from two different, they were from the South, yet they were from two different states. And they, you know, didn't like the living and the treatment in the South, so they decide to, you know, just take off, and they end up in the same city. It's very interesting, very adventurous. So I would recommend teenagers maybe 16 and older.
Okay, like 16 and over. Okay, because I work with children, and, you know, a lot of their stories are about, you know, running away, and they ran away for this reason or for that reason. And
yeah.
I think it would be good, just by looking at the title, to be able to, you know, have them, you know, read something that is similar to what they're going through, you know.
Right.
You know, and I think that would be, you know, a good thing for them to be able to read and see that, okay, this person can write a book about this and they can relate to it. Like, okay, I thought about this, or maybe I did this. You know,
right.
I thought that might be a, you know, a good thing. That's why I was just, you know, asking if it would, if it's for teenagers, you know, as well.
But I would recommend an adult, if they're gonna, you know, to make that judgment, you know, read the book, and then if they feel like it would help their teenager, you know, pass it along.
Okay.
If they're mature enough to read it or whatever. But I don't try to write so explicit. And that's why I try to keep, you know, my books kind of clean so that kids can read it and relate to it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Let me ask you before you go, what ages do you deal with, what kids' ages?
Well, I work with kids from the age of 13 to 19, but we have a lot of 15 and 16-year-olds. that, you know, run away a lot, you know.
Right.
And, when I saw the title on Facebook, I was just like, okay, well, wow, this could be something that they could, you know, they could, you know, they could read.
Yeah.
You know, because, of course, they're always picking up all types of, you know, books. But,
right.
You know, for me to be able to go in and, you know, have it, you know, on my iPad and be able to, you know, go over it with them, you know, just
right.
to show them that they can, it's something that they can relate to. Like, not all books are, you know, sexually explicit. You know,
right.
where they're, you know, where they're able, they're actually able to read it and, you know,
yeah.
it's an eye catcher just by the title. And I think that that's, I mean, me personally, when I go look for books, I, first thing I do is I read the cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I asked you about the, you know, the, as far as the title of it. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, okay, well, maybe this is something that they could, you know, that they could read.
Yeah.
You know, that would help them.
Okay. I think it will. I think it would be very appropriate.
Well, you're definitely blessed, and you know, and I will keep praying as well that the offers that you have on the table, you know, work out to your benefit, and it's what you're looking for, you know, as an author. And
right.
I'll
thank
definitely
you.
Be going online to get a copy, you know, of the book as well.
Well, thank you. That's what keeps us authors writing. If our fans just pick up a copy and show us the love.
Well, I'm definitely a fan. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Matilda, we have another caller for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. You have author Matilda Wells on the line.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm good.
How many novels did you write so far?
Well, I have 5 that are published, but I have some that are in the works. I kind of got away from writing for a while and got into music publishing, and I worked with a few music artists and promotions, and so one day I said, well, I need to get that to me. So
I heard about the book, Malik.
Okay. So someone has told you about it?
Yeah, I haven't got it yet, but I heard about it. It was like, it was good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it is good. I welcome everybody to get a copy, and I bet that they can relate to something in that book.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have you get a copy, and everybody give me some feedback.
Excuse me. Well, we surely going to get that book.
What
made you
write the book? Hey.
What made me write the book?
Yeah.
As I said earlier, I was a victim of bullying in school, and my writing is based mostly on young adults and what they go through in life, and how they go through something and overcome. I write on modern day issues. I put political things in there. I put everyday life issues. So when I write based on something that's happened to me or something that spoke to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I write about social issues. My book, Little Haitian Impact, is based on my husband, his life in Haiti, and how people depict the country as this way, but it's really not this way because of how the media tells you things are. It's not that way, but coming from a person that lived there, and that
yes.
can tell you different, about what's going on, really. Yeah, I just write on a fiction based on truth.
You know? Okay, that's good.
That's where
I
come
from. When you, the book is, this should be good because you have a lot of kids being bullied.
Yeah, that's mostly what I base my writing on. You know, bullying, stereotypical type things. You know, I don't have my own biological kids. I have two stepkids, and I have nieces and nephews. And I always told them, don't talk about people. Don't, you know, in a crowd, you know, don't do that. Don't put people down. Don't call them out of their name. I'm always talking that, you know, because you never know how you're going to affect that person growing up. We got a lot of killings and shooting, mass shootings based on that same thing,
yeah.
Because stuff is going around in somebody's head. What happened to me growing up when I was little, or same thing on the job.
It's saying that to kill God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't hear her question.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I didn't hear the question. What did you ask? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't ask nothing.
Oh, okay. So
I will get your book because I heard it was good.
I beg your pardon?
Hello?
Malik? You're talking about the Malik book?
Yeah, so I will get it because I heard it was good.
Yeah, thank you. Where are you from? If you don't mind.
Huh?
Where are you from, if you don't mind? Yeah.
From New York.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I have relatives near there, so, yeah.
Okay.
They may have been the ones that told you that.
Possibly.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
You enjoy your night.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Never know, they may ask.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
my sisters in New Jersey, I want to give a shout out to them. They've always been supportive, telling people about my books. They're really good people.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
thank
good.
You for those. Yeah.
Strong support team behind you.
Yeah.
If you had the chance to do it all over again, any of your novels, did you change any of them?
Well, I authors periodically go back and try to modernize or bring some things up to date, and I've done that, but really the concept of them, no, I haven't. No, I don't think I would change anything. The one novel, he's only mine part time. It's not really mine, but I chose to work with the author because I think he's an outstanding writer. And to be a man to write a novel based on, just like me being a woman writing a novel based on a male main character. And he's writing on a female main character, you know, I'm like, wow. So what I did was I went into his novel, and it's really an adult novel, so no, it's not for kids. I went in and I did a lot of editing, but I didn't really change anything except, like, maybe the first chapter you might find I changed his the first maybe I hate to say it, but the erotic scene that is mine totally. the rest of it is all his. So
okay.
Yeah.
And we seem to be running out of time. I want to ask you one more question. What's
okay.
the hardest part about being an author?
Oh, being a self-promoter, because I'm like so modest, and I have to do self-promotions, and it's like, you know, people go out and hire people to promote, which I'm looking into that, but to just try to solicit people to purchase your novel, you know, the promoting is very hard. So that's why I thank you guys for giving me this opportunity, because this is a part of promotions and,
yes,
you know.
It is. And we're going to do what we can to promote your book as well.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely going to get done. We definitely going to get the book, especially on Malik. Most of us are kind of interested in that little novel you got there. He's only mine part-time. Huh?
Yeah. 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 Maybe
what's
you
that
did.
About?
You ever went to that dressing sag before? Have you ever gone to that?
So. Well, I ain't gonna say he's mine, but
so basically, that's my biggest issue in that book. You know, trying to defend people that, you know, have their own identity and own way of dressing is not criminal, is not, you know, don't try to put a stereotype on a person because they do certain things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I really want to thank you. Would you like to get the listeners your information and everything, how to get the books, where could they get in touch with you and all that?
Yeah. The contact information is inside of the book. I have my email address. They can go to Facebook, Tilly Wells, and my phone number's there. You know, I'm open, you know, but leave a message, because if I don't know the number, I'm not going to answer. But, you know, I'm just like open door. I'm just a down-to-earth type person. I'm not hard to reach.
Okay, so mainly at Facebook. If you go to Facebook and look you up, they can contact you and get your book.
Yeah, send me a message. I'm also at tillywells@msn.com is my email address. You know, I'm just a regular person. I'm not, you know, I'm open. Public speaking, and you know, if you need me, I'll be there.
Okay. Is there any shout outs you would like to give?
Shout out to my husband out of town working hard. Shout out to my people here in the South, my cousins in New Jersey. Like I said, they've always been supportive. I love them. We don't talk much, but I still love them. You know, my family, friends, everywhere, fans, so who've been so supportive buying the books. And y'all just send me some emails and good emails so we can get this movie on the big screen. I give the producers a push, you know, when I go meet with them in November. So.
Okay. Well, we definitely going to do what we can to support all your novels. And they're not that expensive either. They're not expensive at all.
Yeah, being an e-book, you know, some people have theirs at 99 cents, you know, or whatever. I did at one time had a discounted price, and I was trying to get it out there. My prices are going up. Y'all better get it now. So, but, yeah, I'll try to keep it, you know, street.
I really want to thank you for joining us. It's definitely been an honor, and you are welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And we definitely going to keep in touch.
Thank you. I love that.
All right. All right. Author Telly Wells, Dons and Divas. All right. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank the callers, the listeners. But most of all, I want to thank the man above. Because without him, none of this would be possible. I want to give a rest in peace to Star Child. Gone but never forgotten. We all loved him, but God loves him best. He made the way for all y'all DJs out there. He showed the way for y'all. Rest in peace, Star Child. I also want to let y'all know, don't forget, October 6th is going down at the National Black Theater in Harlem. IPC birthday bash, my birthday bash, and a couple of other people having celebrating their birthday there. Congratulations to Makiba for winning those Jim Jones tickets. Don't forget, we're giving away those tickets on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. I want to let y'all know, on Mondays from 7 to 9, we have Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas. Parental discretion is advised for that Monday show. Please do not have your kids listen to that show. Put them in a bed. Tuesdays, we have GPS, GQ Palace Sports, with the mayor and T.C. Harlan from 8 to 10. Wednesdays, we have Love Fantasies from 8 to 10 with Picasso playing a highly slow jazz and discussing his grown and sexy topics. And on Sunday, we have Spiritual Sunday from 7 to 9 with Lavina Polite and her co-host, Pastor Patricia Hall. I want to wish y'all all a safe and happy weekend. I'm your host, Rich Money. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby. We out.
Yo, you know every time you come home, you got to merch something.
Stop! It's the motherfucking remix!
Yeah, Harlem is back. Who in the world want a problem with that? I'm going real. I heard Harlem is back.
You know we had to do
it. Who in the world want a problem with that? Yeah, Harlem is back. Who in the world want a problem with that? I'm going real. I heard Harlem is back.
You know we had to do
it. Who in the world want a problem with that?
I said my niggas don't dance. We just pull up a PMS. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Lean back. Lean back, come on. I said my niggas don't dance. We just pull up a pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back. Lean back,
yo,
lean
yo,
back,
yo.
Come on.
You know it's deja vu and the day y'all do. It'll be the day y'all bleed. Rich minus 80 degrees. King of Harlem, ain't nobody made me leave. Who else could take 5 years off? Cold turkey, come back and fly lids off. Cats front, leave them leaning like Smirnoff. If haters wanna hate, then it's their loss. Come up in the rucker with all my jigs on. Car grill so big, you can cook a steak on. People hear mace gone, wanna get their mace on. You a hot 16, I'm a very great song. They beating on the DJ before the mace song. You play Clark Kent, you better have your cape on. Plenty goons, mansion, mini room. My necklace, two X's and three Benny Boons. Lean back, lean back, lean back. Cause he's back, come on. Lean back, lean back. Lean back, just ease back, come on.
You don't want no problems with Harlem. You don't want no clowns with the boogie down Bronx. You don't want no drama with the blonde bomber. Original Don Gata of the blonde bottle, the model for
white America. Then Joe, the spokesperson for the Latino. Then we got Mace back to referees and everything else in between, including the percentages of the rest we don't. The best from East Coast to Midwest to the dirty, dirty, even further to Miami, all the way back to California. It'd probably be best right now if I won Dre. Get on the horn with him, tell him about the storm coming all our way. So tell a pal, grab a gal right now, get on the floor while I wait. Shake that ass a little more my way. But baby, I don't dance, not that I can't, there's a pistol in my pants. Come on.
My niggas don't dance, we just pull up a pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back, lean back. Come on. I said my niggas don't dance, we just pull up a pants and do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back.
They don't rent me pot, but I'm hot, like an out of state spot. And anybody think I'm not, you found in the vacant lot. You don't really want to run with the one chick who smokes Dutchess for lunches. The Castle Hill, I ain't lunch chick. Nab the arrow for the Terror Squad. Fun prospect, sunshine, Getty Crack, and Remy Ma. It's not a chick in this game, want it. My 16 so mean, put 20 G's in my chain on it. Quick to flip, I ain't the average chick. I'm packing a Mac in the back of the 45 past 6. And you know I got enough goons to crush the country. Any dudes disrespecting pun, he better plan to run. See you bring your mans and then we handle them. Then we go on Timberland, trample them. Then we pull a cans on them. Lean back, cause I ain't never worried. See, I'm forever glory smacking up any chick in my territory.
My niggas don't dance, we just pull up a pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back, lean back. Come on. I said my niggas don't dance, we just pull up a pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back, lean back, come on. No Judas, a Commodus, a King's brother Abel is able to stop me, nigga, not me. Got the streets asking, damn, who could top he? Summer Jam killed it, man, and did it all with one beat. I guess I'm bi-coastal now. Took a damn South brother to bring your boy out.
What? What?
As the wheel keeps spinning, I can hear niggas thinking crack at one hit, then he out. Nope. Joey, bring them semis out. Force you and yours, pour little Henny out. With so much rappers acting in the game, I had to tell him put the mic away and run and go and get your Emmy down. Lean back, motherfucker, this here's a 3-peat, we back at the rucker. It's good go crack, preach it to your brother, the mic, more rap, and peace to your motherfucker. Think my niggas don't dance, we just pull up a pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back. Lean back, come on. I said my niggas don't dance, we just pull up a pants and do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back, lean back, come on.